Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Friday on the front porch, the 31st and final day of July 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Remember, it's not a big truck. Gone but not forgotten. Yet. And if you'd like to augment your listening experience with some fun and frivolity, well, run on over to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, and become part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. If you do jump in, Anatole and Dave and Roger and Squeaky are all waiting to greet you, as well as more arriving shortly, I'm quite certain. You'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, takes the summer months off so as not to be folding space into the heart of the sun, otherwise known as the man cave. Now, hi, I'm Bob, and we will get into the heart of the conversation in short order. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks are going out to Stephen and Yuki. Thank you very kindly to Stephen and Yuki and Scott. Thank you all very kindly. Thanks to those three. We have a fundraising free final day of July 2020, and that is awesome. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Yuki, for being so helpful in knocking out what remained of the month of July. And, of course, we reserve the final broadcast of the month to thank our Patreon subscribers. And so, as a consequence, this is that day. And let's see. It's always do 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 do. Oh, there we go. The Patreon page is such a booger. It's not intuitive? And so it takes a little bit of fudging around through the interface. Oh, come on. Ah, there we go. And so thanks go out to Uncle Smokey and to Katie. Thank you to John. Thank you to Alec. Thank you, Jake. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you to Jimmy. Thank you to Dave number 11. Thank you to Prince. Thank you to Bernadette. Thank you, Irwin. Thanks, Kay. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Dave. Thank you to John and to Andrew. Thank you to Oak. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Michael of the Guffins. Thank you. Thank you to Baltimore Bob. Thank you, Brock. Thanks to Jeff in SLO. Thank you to James. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, John. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, James. Thanks, Joey. Thanks, Ruth. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Annette. Thanks, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Alex. Thank you to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you to Hamilton. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you to Kat in Ohio. Thank you to John. Thank you to Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Barbara. Thanks to Terrace. Thanks to the Nubian. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to Carl. Thank you to Irwin. To Steve in New York. Thank you to Barb. Thank you to Horst. Thank you to Robin. Thank you to Fab. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. And so so it is that we will wrap up another month of broadcasting and have another month ahead of us because of you, all of you. Because, again, no ads here. This is non-capitalist radio, independent in nature. Now, let's see where to begin the program this evening. Note coming from Cynthia. Hey, Bob, neither rain nor sleet nor snow, not even massive mudslides would stop the post office from getting the mail delivered. And a link to a 1983 reactivation of the Pony Express. Now privatize the post office and imagine what FedEx and UPS would do. I'll tell you what, nothing. Come to think of it, neither would that pig running the place now, DeJoy or whatever his name is. It really is, as mentioned on the program a couple of nights ago, time that we restore the Postmaster General to its former place of importance within the cabinet of the presidency. At least that would seem like a wise thing to do, because as it stands, well, the bottom line is, well, let me put it this way. An anonymous friend, knowing my passion for and having been raised on and my brain full of clips and quotes from various and sundry Warner Brothers cartoons, sent me a collection of the new Bugs Bunny stamps. And that just tickled me pink. And at the current rate for a stamp, it is still one of the biggest bargains in the entire United States. Because sending a letter, you know, just let the post office go under. No, don't. But just let the post office go under. And, you know, Cynthia says, what will FedEx or UPS do? Nothing. Oh, they'll do something. Instead of under a dollar to mail a letter, it'll be 15 or 20. And maybe it'll get there, maybe it won't. I mean, you may recall Tracy talking about the ordeal of trying to mail a jar of apricot pineapple preserves across the country. It was about three times as expensive via UPS as it was by the U.S. Postal Service, and it didn't get beat all to hell with the U.S. Postal Service. So, I get your point. I get your point, Cynthia. Let's see. Oh, and just because I enjoy good a good production and a darn good story. I saw the new and this new Lincoln Project thing is it's different for them because, well, it's not a 1 minute ad or a 30 second ad. It's actually 6 minutes, six and a half. And think of it as a Rip Van Winkle for 2020. And of course, no money has changed hands in the playing of this clip. Because, well, we don't take ads. But it's Rip Van Winkle for 2020 in as much as it imagines a family of Trump voters, one of whom has just awakened from a 3.5-year-long coma, much as Rip Van Winkle awakened somewhere in upstate New York, having been asleep for 20 years. Well, this is only 3.5. And the young man, upon awakening, wants to know what he missed. Bonus, pay close attention to the voice of the dad. I don't know how they got this actor on here, but I'm glad they did because he's a genius in whatever he undertakes.
After 20 minutes, just tell me he's okay.
Where is he? Where's my baby?
I want to see him right now.
There he is.
No hugging. No hugging, please.
We're not going to hug nobody. They're in a hospital room, of course, where the young man has just awakened, and they're all terribly, terribly excited. They're so happy. I guess the young man's got health care or something. I mean, 3.5 years in a coma in a hospital room, can you imagine?
Hi, Mom.
Hi, baby.
It's okay. I'm okay. It's okay. But the doctors won't tell me anything. Could someone please...
Hey, he's still got an oxygen mask on, so... That's why he's kind of muted.
Explain what's going on.
Okay, honey. You were in a very bad car accident.
Yeah.
And you bumped your head. And so about 3.5 years have gone by.
Yeah. 3.5 years?
Yeah. You were in a coma.
Yeah.
And now it's 2020.
Wow. Wow. Did I miss anything interesting? What?
Uncomfortable silence.
You guys go. Go ahead.
Well, sweetheart, do you remember that our president is Donald Trump?
Of course. We finally got a Republican back.
Strong leader, boy. He's a strong leader.
Supporting families.
Well, of course. He's got a bunch of his own family working in the White House right now.
Bless their hearts,
and
too.
As he promised, he's keeping the Mexicans out.
So he actually built his wall. Hey, how'd he get Mexico to pay for it?
I don't think I remember him saying that.
And don't mention the kids in the cages.
Not gonna.
Kids?
Yeah, I gotta admit, that didn't turn out the way he said it would.
If I remember right, his wife was an immigrant.
Oh, isn't she pretty?
Oh, I just love all her
dresses. She's from one of those non-shithole countries. Yeah. And she was so strong when she found out that her husband was paying off one of those...
porn stars.
Exactly.
A porn star.
Oh. I guess we did want an outsider Republican.
Yes, we did.
Did he lose the evangelicals?
Actually, they didn't really say very much. You know, he eventually took a picture in front of a church with a upside-down Bible, and that helped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It did. Well, and we have race rats.
Race rats?
No, more like peaceful, everybody riots.
Everybody. Yeah. Around.
People in the street yelling for equal rights for black people. Mm-hmm. Again. And you know what? I have to admit, I do agree they deserve it because the police keep accidentally killing black people.
Well, we can't support that. We're Republicans, not Klansmen.
That's
kiddo,
right.
Kiddo, kiddo. You know, they're fine people on both sides.
You believe that?
I'm trying to.
Trump was just making a point about fairness And there being two sides to every story, mm-hmm. especially when one is so terrible.
That's right. Keep it balanced. Just like how he got himself impeached.
Whoa, impeached? For what?
For supposedly cahooting with the Russians.
Wow.
It's those little grace notes, like the use of the word supposedly. Yeah, because that's not a word. It's supposedly, but whoever the genius is who wrote this script, and whoever wrote this script is a genius. Personally, I think it's the reanimated, resurrected corpse of Kurt Vonnegut Jr., because this reads like something out of Happy Birthday, Wanda June, or Welcome to the Monkey House. I guess it's just a lot to take in, having been gone for 3.5 years and everything, and waking up to all of this. Have you figured out who the dad is yet? The director. Oh, daggummit. Sparky just sent a link along. John Turteltaub. He directed Cool Runnings, While You Were Sleeping, Phenomenon. And he did a great job with this one. And the writing, well, you can tell the writing is pure genius.
Republicans must have crushed him on that Russia stuff.
Oh, no, my love. They are loyal, good people. Mm-hmm. Well, especially that Mitch O'Connell.
But I thought we hated
Mitch O'Connell.
Russians.
We do, except we like Putin. Apparently, he turned good.
I mean, let's be honest. Trump knew for a very long time that Putin and the Russians were paying off the Talibans to kill us.
Oh.
Talibans.
News networks must be just destroying him.
Oh, boy. Honey, we don't listen to them. We're the scientists.
Yeah, it's fake news!
Fake news!
Oh, wait a minute. Did you all become doctors? Why are you all wearing masks?
Well, Pumpkin, there is a virus killing people all over the world. Now, at first, Mr. Trump said it was just a hoax made up by the Democrats, but people kept getting sick. Mm. So then, Trump asked the doctors to figure out a way how to inject disinfectant into everybody. Mm-hmm. But then, finally, Trump took some medicine, although not the real kind, not right. the real kind. Mm-hmm. And now, over 150,000 Americans are dead. I mean, nothing could be done about it, right?
Excuse me.
That's the doctor leaving the room.
How do you know if you have the virus?
No, you don't.
No.
No. I mean, we can't get tested. The president slowed that way down. But that was so that less people died from it.
That's correct.
Wait, what?
Would you like a mask?
Oh, God.
Oh, honey, look at him. Hey, don't you worry. The reason we elected him was so he could fix the economy. Yeah. That's exactly what mm-hmm. he did, right? He gave huge tax cuts to the rich folk who hire people. Mm-hmm. Oddly, they didn't hire people.
Millions of people are newly unemployed,
that's right.
including your father.
Oh, that's me, Mr. Lose Your Job. Lost my damn job.
He lost my damn job. And the young man begins looking up at the telemetry and the little lines squiggling across the screen, and suddenly he's thinking about things. Lost my damn job.
Do you guys remember how nobody came to his party in Oklahoma?
No.
Where he's just talking about how he could drink water.
Well, he did it well.
It was an assist.
You know what, Gary? We should go stay at Mar-a-Lago sometime. I bet we'd meet some big shots.
Meanwhile, the young man is trying to pull his own plug for all he's worth.
We can't afford that, honey.
Oh, I forget.
You know, my favorite was that time When in Puerto Rico, when it started raining, so then Trump went down there and he threw them all free paper towels.
Just throwing paper towels. And now you can't even find a paper towel.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know what? We never did find out the meaning of covfefe, though.
No, I think that's covfefe. That's the French version of it.
Right. That's the French version. Meanwhile, the young man has, in fact, pulled his plug and decided to check out. Because he just doesn't want to live in Trump world. It closes with a simple message, because this is directed at Republicans. Republicans, we need to wake up. This guy was in a coma. What's your excuse? Because ultimately, that's the fact of the matter. The maggots have been walking around as if they were zombies. But we know that because we've documented it all along the way. I don't know if that... We need more like this. And by the way, just to give it away, the dad is Stephen Root. And, of course, played the blind disc jockey in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And, of course, back in the 90s on the NBC sitcom News Radio, which I loved, he played Jimmy James, as in... Jimmy James, macho donkey wrestler. Donkey, donkey, donkey. Probably, I would say among men, he is the, among the very best character actors we have today. Him, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi. Right. So while we're sitting here, and while we're conversing and whatnot, I guess instead of a shit show, Nitwit Nero he's having a super spreader event down Florida way. And Aaron Rupar, reporting on Twitter, not exactly an overflow crowd at Trump's speech in Florida. Thanks for sending that along, Ralphs. And what else? That's right. He played Milton in Office Space.
Bring me back my stapler, or I'll burn this place to the ground.
Yeah. While we're at it, I guess Alan Dershowitz has been having a really bad day. Because new documents have been unsealed regarding Jeffrey Epstein and the child sex slavery ring that he was running. And among other things, in the document dump, it discusses victim Virginia Jeffrey, who said that Jeffrey Epstein required her to, quote, have sexual relations with Alan Dershowitz on numerous occasions while she was a minor. And went on to say that Dershowitz was an eyewitness to the sexual abuse of many other minors by Epstein and several of Epstein's co-conspirators. And then went so far as to note that Dershowitz, contributed to the drafting of the plea deal for Jeffrey Epstein to try to keep from getting himself implicated as a co-conspirator in the child sex slavery ring. This caused Alan Dershowitz to run to Twitter. We don't know in what state of attire. I demanded release of all documents because they contain emails and manuscript proving Jeffrey's own words that she never met me. I knew they would repeat her false accusations against me, Al and Tipper Gore and others, which her own lawyers admit are wrong. As to the state of undress, the only reason I mention that is because he's offered up as an affirmative defense the fact that when he received massages, he kept his underwear on, leading to a reference to Dershowitz that has gone around the world, namely Captain Underpants. So I guess now he'll claim that he is a victim of cancel culture. Sure. And some folks on the Twitter thread reminded the rest of us that it was 1997 when Alan Dershowitz wrote an op-ed for the Los Angeles Times. The title of that op-ed was "Statutory Rape is an Outdated Concept." And in that, he argued that, curiously, the age of sexual consent should be universally and uniformly lowered to 15, regardless of the age of the person having sex with the said 15-year-old child. It's probably only going to get worse for Alan. I know who I believe. I'm sorry. That's in the Pacific time zone. Note from a friend. You ruined my afternoon snack. Dershin underpants. I know. It just consider your snack. Consider what just happened to the dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And hey, Sailor with a note, and Stephen Root played Hawthorne Abinson in The Man in the High Castle. That's true. Well, apparently I got to Billable Rick, too. Bob, stop making me spit up my, which is gross enough. Late lunch in the Pacific time zone, Captain Underpants. I hadn't heard that one. Lee in New York, stop ruining children's comic characters. Oh, yeah, and Dave, one of many Daves, Dave reminds us that Stephen Root is the voice of Bill on King of the Hill. Whatever he does it magnificently into perfection. His timing, his vocalizations, like in the Lincoln project, you lost my damn job. And you can tell that there's a disconnect there. Because he's trying so hard to be a good maggot. And it's just not working, it's not working out too well for him. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I neglected to mention, if you want to participate in Friday on the front porch, there's a link over at headon.live. There always is. It's at the very top of the page. Just click on that, and it'll carry you over the river and through the trees. To the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather virtually every Friday. Yeah, because we've been doing virtual meetings here at the Horn since long, long, long before the the Dondemic started. Yeah, that's working out well, Dennis in Ohio, the Dondemic. I think it's going to get some considerable play. Leave it to Nitwit Nero to head down to Florida with a hurricane on the way. The Bahamas got the living bejesus smacked out of them today as it heads toward the Florida coast. Winds are running at about 80 miles an hour. And it's a big one. It's moving about 17 miles an hour. The Turks and Caicos took a whipping too, according to the National Hurricane Center in Miami. They also said that strengthening is possible today, and Isaias is expected to remain a hurricane for the next few days. At present speed and present a trajectory, it should hit the be near or just east of Florida by Sunday. Eastern Florida has a tropical storm watch in place. Mar-a-Lago. So, oh, by the way, because they needed it, Puerto Rico got the shit smacked out of it again. Trees and electric lines knocked down, houses inundated with water. On the western side of Puerto Rico, Mayagüez, one man said, "If you're seeing this, please, we need help." Shot a video of his family hanging onto life on the roof of their car while water overtook their home. It may well be a Cat 2 hurricane by the time that it hits Florida. Winds of up to 95 miles an hour. Illegitimate white supremacist adjacent Florida governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, who only became governor with the assistance of real, no-kidding Nazis and people who decided they were okay with voting alongside real, no-kidding Nazis, said, "Make sure you have a plan and have 7 days' worth of food, water, and medicine." To all our friends in Florida, please stay safe. If it's at all humanly possible, give us a report, Scary Jerry, or anyone down there. Carlos Jimenez is the mayor of Miami-Dade County. He said, "We have 20 evacuation centers on standby. They're not open, and we will have them set up with COVID-19 safety measures." Well, we knew this was going to happen. It's not like this is an unforeseen event. It's not like hurricanes don't hit Florida fairly routinely. But once again, what we see is that it's all about the competence. Or lack thereof. And as of the last tally, Florida has over 6,000 dead from COVID-19. And it has blown past New York as an epicenter of the disease. Only California has more dead, and California has twice or more as many people as does Florida. Yeah. Steve in New York says, DeKlantis' words translated, good luck, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. I'll be somewhere safe with lots of ice and air conditioning. The rest of y'all can, well, if you survive, remember to vote for me. Yep. Isaias, I missed a syllable. Thank you, Flavio. Knower of words. Master knower of words, Flavio. Isaias. So we're at I. J. That's 9. That's the 9th letter of the alphabet. So we're 9 storms in and not even really into the meat of the storm season. Yeah, I share your sentiment, Albert in Rhode Island. Albert says if Mar-a-Lago gets leveled, I hope Trump's insurance company tells him it was an act of God, so we don't have to pay you anything. That would be a tantrum for the ages. Of course, you know, the minute that he breathes out and doesn't breathe in again, whenever that wondrous day comes, you know his filthy spawn will sell that vermin infested shithole probably before they get the first spade full of dirt on him. That's a good question. Hurricane hits Puerto Rico. Lee in New York says, will Trump deliver paper towels? Ugh. As to Alan Dershowitz, James in Illinois says, his original story was that he had nothing to do with the sex ring, you know, if there really was one. How would I know? I wasn't part of it. Now he admits he was there, but he kept his underpants on? It sounds like Bill Clinton's I didn't inhale line, jackass. Throw him in the holding cell for about 10 years or so and maybe give him credit for time served. Remember the character from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Can't think of the actor or character. Well, I'll only be 82. I think that was Pretty Boy Floyd, wasn't it? Yeah. And, we're a little bit different on this side of the aisle. We're a little bit different from our maggot counterparts. Because the maggots are scared to death. Me and most of us, I suspect, well, we're not so worried. Because no matter who took part in it, burn them all. Let them never see the light of sun, the light of day, feel the sun on their face again forever and ever and ever. Amen. Democrat, Republican, makes no difference. But if you're a loyal maggot, you, of course, need to come up with an excuse for, say, your president who hires porn stars to have sexy time with him and pays him off with campaign funds and gets himself referred to in a federal indictment as individual one. He must be protected at all costs. Hey, thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for jumping in. Much appreciated on this fundraising free Friday. Thank you. Let's see here. Something rolling in on. On Twitter. Oh, dear God. Well, speaking of sex trafficking rings, the one that gets, the one that actually gets the maggots worked up is entirely imaginary. Dave number 11 sent this along. Hollywood. QAnon goonies stormed a CNN building. carrying Pizzagate and QAnon signs. Remember, Pizzagate was the child sex trafficking, the imaginary child sex trafficking ring that was run out of the basement of Comet Ping Pong Pizza in Washington, D.C., a pizza place in Washington, D.C. that didn't even have a basement. Now, again, this is Hollywood, California. More COVID deaths than any other state in the union. There's not a mask anywhere to be seen among these maggot mask hole COVIDiots. And, of course, when you're yelling that loudly, you're going to be spewing particles from Dan to Beersheba. Screaming, save the children. Interestingly, they couldn't be bothered to yell save the children when it wasn't an imaginary paranoid fantasy, but instead there were real children being kept in cages, still kept in cages in concentration camps. Now they've never yelled save our children, not even once, over that, because of course they're ignorant, they're idiots, they're morons. They have roughly the same morality as the COVID-19 virus itself. And it's all... where are the cops? Could maybe a few of these people get, pepper sprayed? Where are the non-lethal munitions? Well, it's not a federal building, Bill Barr to prosecution would say. Attorney General Pepe the Frog would say, I don't have any jurisdiction over that, and that's not my problem. I have to protect federal buildings. Hey. Hey, wow, I saw two masks. Granted, people were wearing them below their noses, but I saw two masks. Progress! And there must be 100 or more people in there. LARPing and smollicking and lollygagging and wallering and grabulating and spewing and hollering and hooting all over each other. Let's see. Where's that Georgia Tech tool? Let's run the numbers on this real quick, shall we? Yes, the COVID-19 event risk assessment planning tool. Let's say it's 100 people. Now let's go to Los Angeles County. There's a 98% chance that in that gathering there of idiots screaming, save our children, for children who are not at risk and never even, right. 98% chance that somebody in amongst all those spewing, LARPing, grabulating, smollicking, QAnon assholes, there's a 98% chance that somebody's in there spreading the Rona. All right, let's get a little bit more science-y with it. Let's find out what's going to happen when they spew the Rona. Shall we? Here we go. California. L.A. County. 27.1 new cases per 100,000 in L.A. County. An infection rate of 1. That means every infected person spreads it to another person. Right. And these are super spreaders. Now, I'm generally not aware of the cops kind of guy. But in the middle of a pandemic, where are the cops? I saw a gang of L.A. cops on video knock down a single little girl. But what? Nothing here? I mean, this was planned. They've all got poorly spelled signs and whatnot. There's no social distancing. They are inside a public building. Jesus. You know, stupidity is one thing. Stupidity that spreads disease is another. Jude just sent along a photo of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Border Patrol Station in Clint, Texas, as she carried the boots and flowers of women standing. Jude said they should be here where children need saving. The Clint Customs and Border site outside of El Paso. Stephen, New York, save the children. Where was that protest? I'd like to see the video. You can go to at Joshua Potash, P-O-T-A-S-H. It was posted about an hour ago. Today in Hollywood, people stormed a CNN building with Pizzagate and QAnon signs chanting, "Save the children." Can't make this stuff up. The clip itself is 1 minute and 9 seconds long. It could have gone a lot longer because they show no sign whatsoever. Of going anywhere. Meanwhile, real people are having their unemployment insurance dry up. The Senate's gone. Won't be back till next week. No sign of any change whatsoever. Mitch, Moscow Mitch, Chinless Mitch, McConnell, says he's got 20 members that don't want to do anything at all in his carcass. So probably no. Among other things, some Republican senators have said, let's send everybody stimulus checks of $1,000 for both adults and children. Sounds great. I'm sure people would say, well, hey, the Republicans want to do something, but they know nothing's going to come of it. But, of course, they're more than willing to politic on the backs of people trying to pay rent, trying to eat food. And it is the most cynical and sickening of politics. I want to go back to a couple of clips from yesterday's eulogy by President Obama of Representative John Lewis. Because having mentioned Mitch McConnell, well, this speaks to that. And Obama captured the historical tenor both of past and present and even future.
He, as much as anyone in our history, brought this country a little bit closer to our highest ideals. And someday, when we do finish that long journey towards freedom, when we do form a more perfect union, whether it's years from now or decades, or even if it takes another two centuries, John Lewis will be a founding father of that fuller, fairer, better America. And yet, as exceptional as John was, here's the thing, John never believed that what he did was more than any citizen of this country can do. I mentioned in the statement the day John passed, the thing about John was just how gentle and humble he was. And despite this storied, remarkable career, he treated everyone with kindness and respect because it was innate to him, this idea that any of us can do what he did if we're willing to persevere. He believed that in all of us there exists the capacity for great courage. That in all of us there's a longing to do what's right. That in all of us there's a willingness to love all people and extend to them their God-given rights to dignity and respect.
You know, I have to take issue with what he said there. It's not in all of us. I think we're Pollyannas if we make that assertion. It's not in all of us. Take, for instance, a gospel sharp by the name of Greg Locke, L-O-C-K-E. He posted a video on Facebook bragging, this follower of the Prince of Peace, of having assaulted an employee at a Dunkin' Donuts. Now, this is a Christian. Just bear that in mind.
Hey guys, Pastor Greg Locke here. I want to give a few of you a moment to start sharing this video and hopping on. But I've got a lot to say and a lot to chit-chat about in the next few minutes, so I'm just going to jump right in. And let me just go ahead and warn you up front, as with many of my videos, not only do you want to buckle in and buckle up and hold on for the ride, some of you may not be able to make the leap with me after this, because I'm pretty spitting mad.
Yeah, he's a spitting mad Christian preacher. He's from Mount Juliet, Tennessee. By the way, Charlie Daniels, who recently died, also from Mount Juliet. You got to wonder if he maybe went to Greg Locke's church. Global Vision Bible Church. And what he's mad about is, of course, being asked to wear a mask.
About a bunch of nonsense. Did you know there's been nothing in the American culture and nothing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has separated the body more than these stupid things right here? We call them safety precautions. No, what these are gags, ladies and gentlemen. These have become idols. These don't do anything whatsoever. They're the dumbest thing that's ever been created by humanity. Okay.
You know, he put it over his face after claiming it was a gag and then continued to speak.
They are scientifically proven to do jack sprat, but I'll tell you
wrong. They are scientifically proven to slow the spread of the disease, but that doesn't matter because he thinks it's a hoax. Well, we don't have 13 minutes, and I would not give them to him had I them. We don't have 13 minutes to let this babbling moron go on and on.
Religiously, what they've done, they've divided the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things.
That's pretty powerful, considering that, you know, Jesus is God's boy and God's the most powerful critter in the whole universe, but somehow a requirement to wear a mask has split the body of the church. I'll be dipped.
Things are so dumb. You know, Walmart says now you have to have one, but they're going to charge you $8 to have one. So my wife gave me one that we have to carry around for obvious reasons. So I went into Walmart today. I've not even got to the store yet. I'm just letting you, you know, share the video. I'm about to get fired up about some stuff, so I'd suggest that the kiddos get out of the room. But anyhow, so I walk around Walmart today with this off. All I did was do like this. To get in the door, and then I walked around. There's 300, 400 people in there, and all these sheep are walking around. They all got their masks on, you know. They're all just like a bunch of little mechanized robots walking around. We have our mask. We are safe. COVID-19 cannot get to us. And I'm walking around with this thing in my hand. Nobody said Jack Sprat. Nobody said a word. But here.
That's because you're in Tennistan, dickhead. Where laws are not enforced unless they are unless they happen to apply to well, you know.
Here is what Pastor Greg Locke is super duper over the top fired up about. It is no secret that I love Dunkin' Donuts. Holy macaroni, they ought to give me a preaching sponsorship. Listen,
now this guy also, if I recall correctly, and you can tell from his attitude. At one point, his wife, is this the same guy? His wife went into hiding after he beat the hell out of her? That seems to ring a bell. Yep, there it is. Let's see. Adulterer, Greg Locke. Greg Locke's first wife speaks out about divorce. That comes from a website called Bible Thumping Wingnut. And, of course, Jesus said, under no uncertain terms do you go off and get a divorce, but that didn't slow Greg Locke down. But Dunkin' Donuts, that's got him upset, Dunkin' Donuts.
In the last few years, all over the world send me Dunkin' Donuts gift certificates and gift cards because I always talk about Dunkin'. I go to Dunkin' every single day, and every day I get the same thing. I get two, right here, count them, two medium hot coffees, 7 cream, 5 sugar in each one.
I guess that kind of explains the forced speech and the pressured speech and the hyperactivity.
Yeah, I know I got a problem, but that's another video. 7 cream, 5 sugar, medium coffee. I get two of them. Two. My family and I are out of town for a few days, spend some time with the kids, and I know the sign on Dunkin' Donuts says that it is mandatory for you to have a mask when you walk in. But I've been going to that Dunkin' Donuts for the last several days since we've been here, and nobody has said a peep. Nobody has says jack squat about anything. I've been going in. I'm nice. I order my 2 coffees, 7 cream, 5 sugar, and I walk out. I do it every day, about 9 a.m. and 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Every single day.
Because he's so goddamn dumb, he can't figure out how a coffee maker works. I mean, is that the lesson for today here? Is that what that is?
I do it at home, and every town I preach in, every place I go, nothing has been any different. And so I've been going the last few days with the signs on the door, but I still don't wear the mask because I'm not in compliance. I'm in defiance. I'm sick of this nonsense, and you should be too. But I'm standing there. I've ordered my stuff. I've paid for my stuff. I've kindly, gently talked to the ladies that have talked to me every single day that are super nice. And then all of a sudden, here comes Nazi Skippy. He comes walking out with his little mask.
Oh, Nazi Skippy. I presume he was wearing a black uniform designed by Hugo Boss, peaked black cap with a death's head on it, red armband with a swastika, because he's a Nazi, right? No, he's a Nazi because he's actually following accepted science.
I ask, and he's like, sir, I just want you to know. Now, by the way, he didn't have to embarrass me in front of everybody, but he did, which is probably a mistake, because I'm not a real silent guy when you push my buttons too far. He's like, sir, the next time you come into my store, I want you to have a mask on. I said, okay, Lord, just help me. May I stay calm? May I not say a word? But I'm not a sheep, and so sometimes I just have to say things back. I said, sir, I've been coming to this store for the last...
Now, this is why I'm playing the clip. We're not going to do the whole thing, like I said. But this is the level of privileged idiocy that these mask holes, these maggots, get. Listen to what he admits.
Several days, and nobody has said one thing to me about one of these silly masks. He's like, well, last night at 5 o'clock, it was an actual mandate. I said, wait a minute, you just lied to me in front of all these people in the store, because the sign has been saying for 2 or 3 days, when I've been coming in 2 or 3 times a day to get my 7 cream, 5 sugar, 2 medium coffees, it's been saying every day that I can't come in without a mask. And
right, because that was corporate policy. But he's an idiot. He's a COVIDiot. He's a branch COVIDian. Well, that's true, too. Brother Deacon Asa says, you may be correct in saying that the masks are scientifically proven to slow the spread of the disease, but in the case of the maggots, it's a disease of the mind. N95 ain't going to do dick about that. Also, 7 creams, 5 sugar, and a medium coffee times 2? I think at this point he needs an insulin drip a whole lot more than a fucking mask. Well, one can hope.
Nobody said a word. Well, it's just now a mandate. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's just now something you got your feelings hurt about. And I said, look, I've already paid for my stuff. Just give me my stuff. He's trying to act like they're not even going to give me what I already paid for. And I was doing everything I could spiritually not to come over the counter and still be a pastor in public, because I'm sure there's cameras everywhere because people recognize me all over the place. So I was like, look, just give me my stuff. I've already paid for it. I thank the ladies. I said, y'all are doing a great job. Thank you.
I wonder if that's an open carry state. Wonder if it'd be okay to pistol whip him.
Thank you so much, but this guy, oh man, he was getting on my ever-loving nerves. And then to beat all things, here I have my 2 coffees. Ask anybody that walks with me anytime.
Yeah, we heard about the 2 coffees. Skip a bit, brother.
Of the day, I always have my 2 medium coffees, but here's what I did. I walked up to the door like I do every day, at least twice, if not 3 times a day. I put my foot at the bottom of the door, I pushed it open, and I began to walk out to my car. And what does this, you know, lawn ranger, masked man do? He's like, oh, now I see what you're trying to do. Now you're mad because I said something about a mask and you're trying to kick the glass out of the door. Woo-hoo. So I walked back in with my 2 cups of coffee, and I said...
Can you imagine being so weak-minded that you would get up every Sunday morning and go and listen to this freak? There's nobody interested in salvation that goes to see him. There's nobody interested in emulating the life of a guy who was pretty much a pacifist all of his life. Mm-mm. They go for the same. They go on Sunday morning for the same reason that they go on Saturday night to see the wrestling down at the armory.
And let me be truthful in what I said, because more than likely it's on video and it'll be on Newsweek or Time magazine sometime this week. I said
he really does think way too highly of himself,
sir. I did not try to kick the glass in your door. I very calmly pushed the door open with my foot because it's what I do every second. Oh, no, I saw you. You tried to kick the glass out of the door. I said, if you call me a liar one more time, I'm going to take these work boots and I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat. Yes?
Bang.
I said it, and the moment...
And guess what? The moment he said that, he conveyed a credible threat of an unconsented to touching of an insulting or provoking nature. And even in Tennessee and most of the other Confederacy, the rest of the Confederacy, that's still a crime. Yep, no, Jimmy, you did not call anybody Captain Dreadlock. Skippy the Nazi. Yeah, and this is also a guy who has He hates the LGBTQ community and has inveighed against them numerous times. And on top of it all, this is the same clown who years ago told his daughter to take a zero by not taking a test that included the history of Middle Eastern countries where the dominant religion is Islam, screaming and hooting and shrieking that they were trying to ruin her with, what? Sharia law, but of course. Mm-hmm. But that's why, I mean, now listen to that and compare that with the clip from Barack Obama speaking a eulogy over the mortal remains of John Lewis and saying, John believed we all had the capacity for love. It is simply an untrue statement. Plain and simple. And moreover, Barack Obama pointed out, like I said, past, present, and future.
But today, we...
Oh, wait a second. Let me do this differently. Get it in a different device. Here.
But today, we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone.
Bang.
But we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Now, in this entire eulogy, President Obama never once referred or even used the name of Nitwit Nero. Instead, he let others stand in for him. And in that moment, and everybody in the room knew exactly what was going on, in that moment, in that church, Ebenezer Baptist Church, in Atlanta, he declared that Donald Trump is the new George Wallace. And it's kind of interesting that, because we had had the very same conversation comparing him to Lester Maddox and George Wallace. Hi, Obama staffer. Glad you're listening.
We may no longer have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick. Now, I know this is a celebration of John's life. There are some who might say we shouldn't dwell on such things. But that's why I'm talking about it. John Lewis devoted his time on this earth fighting the very attacks on democracy and what's best in America that we're seeing circulate right now.
Potent, powerful. As Flavio notes, I listened to Obama's eulogy of John Lewis two or three times. Could I listen to more of that instead of that Locke asshole? Well, there was a point to be made there, Flavio. Comparison and contrast. Mask hole preacher Billable Rick says, that mask hole non-sheep preacher whose clip you just played in likes a skosh of coffee with his sugar and cream is obviously still trying to figure out how wheels work. Oh, I know. And that was not lost on James in Illinois either. Two coffees, 14 creams, how much sugar? 10. 10. Seven creams, five sugars per coffee. James says, they're not making a dime off of him. And if they were, that gives him no right to spread virus. Lock him up. Fuck that Nazi cheapskate. He gets his coffee out because it's cheaper that way. Asshole. Yeah. Why didn't the guy call the cops? Or did all of this just not happen and he made it all up? And he does it just to work up the faithful who tune into his YouTube shenanigans the same way some people tune into a Facebook or YouTube video to see the masked red marauder threaten the blue bomber wrestling. All is wrestling. Oh, okay, no. Jimmy said, my bad, he talked so fast. He said Pastor Greg Locke, not Pastor Dreadlocks. I heard wrong. No worries, Jimmy. Happens all the time to me. But here's the fascinating thing. Greg Locke is a preacher in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, as pointed out. Well, enter Pastor Perry Cleek, C-L-E-E-K. He runs a gospel shop called Lighthouse Missionary Baptist Church. And a little while back, he went to a roundtable event at the White House about, Christians for Trump and how we got to overlook his inchoate failings. I think those were the words of the dude from the Wall Street Journal we talked about last night. And he said, before we were even allowed in, we were tested. And at that time, I tested negative. It's a serious illness, and it's very contagious. Pastor Cleek said, from quarantine. Because, he's got the Rona. Because, of course, he does. And the White House was, I'm sure they're nervous. I'm sure Nitwit Nero's shitting himself. But Pastor Cleek, the maggot, said, I never came into I never got anywhere close to President Trump. Of course not. You don't have any money, dumbass. But now he's quarantining and hoping he doesn't die. Probably even praying for all the good that does. Yeah. But just a little snapshot of America, because it's all too much America. So here we are, a little past the top of the hour. Let's run on over to the old holler tree, and I'll take my seat around the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
100 degrees in the man cave, is it?
No, it's probably hotter in the man cave.
Oh, that's just the ambient air temperature there. Okay.
That's outside air. That's just going outside. I went outside this morning to go out there. I open up the doors because I go out and I work after the sun goes down around 8 o'clock. I go out in the man cave and I work on cutting up the limbs that keep falling off the oak tree. So I was out there this morning and I heard this boom or crash sound, and I looked out and another limb come off the oak tree. And I went, geez, I almost got the first one cleaned up.
It's out to get you, Sparky.
But that's what I went out today. I hadn't been out since the power, we lost the power the other day. And the driveway that goes into the ranch that's behind my house, there's big oak trees lining it. Well, that's where one of the oak trees had given up a big old limb there, and it hit the power line because it was cut up on both sides of the road so he could get in and out of the ranch. He'd been out there cutting it up, so he did just use his driveway, or the PG&E cut it up like that. But I don't know what's going on with these old oak trees around here, but they do that all the time.
Just shedding branches?
Just limb falls off. There was one out at the north corner of the pasture by where the rancher has his pump house. It just split right down the middle and folded over one day. That would have made a hell of a lot of noise. Because it cracks first, and then it falls.
Yeah. Big crack, then a thud.
Yeah. Anyway, an update here in Tama County. I found it interesting. They had a good article in a paper the other day. We have 214 positive total cases, with 99 cases reported in the last 14 days. Of the 234, 153 have recovered, 43 are in active isolation, 11 are unknown due to the contact tracing investigation being conducted, and an additional 86 are under quarantine after being exposed to a positive case. The Tama County's positivity rate, right now, when this article came out, is 7.6. And the state threshold go into Governor Newsom's watch list, where stuff has to shut down, no schools, is 8%.
Oh, you're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I can't help wondering as you talk about those rising numbers, Sparky. I can't help wondering if that big Christian concert. I wonder if any of your fellow Tahamians attended that in Redding last weekend.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, it was huge. I don't
dig into that world. So I mean,
right?
You're deep in it, I guess.
Well, no, I just pay attention to stories about people trying to be bioterrorists, and it just so happens that Christians are among the biggest bioterrorists in this country right now. And so in Redding last week, they had a huge super spreader event. It was a Christian music concert outside, and there wasn't a mask to be seen. People, you know, just wallering all over each other, LARPing and smollicking, you know, and spewing and singing.
Did it say where it was at?
It just said in Redding.
Oh.
And then someone else pointed out that they had previously played San Bernardino and had an identical event.
I'm trying to think. There's a big church going out of town on Highway 299 towards Bernie, towards the east. I forget, Bethel Temple or something like that. And they got a huge parking lot area there. I'm just wondering if that could have been the place they had it. Because I don't think they could have got a permit at the city convention center to do that kind of thing.
Sundial Bridge.
Oh, they were at the Sundial Bridge?
That's what Dave number 11 says.
Oh, jeez. That's a big tourist attraction in town. I used to go there all the time because I only lived about 3 blocks away from it when I was in Reading. Anytime I had company from out of town, I'd take them to the Sundial Bridge. Got lots of pictures.
Well, when you think about that, and there are two of those events, and then you see this this hallway full of COVIDiots in Hollywood, it's A, no wonder that it's spreading, and B, I mean, I know Governor Newsom's been doing a pretty decent job, or at least trying. But you're not going to get these COVIDiots under control until they get consequences for their actions.
Oh, and I got another story too. My next door neighbor, she cleans houses and offices and stuff. She drives all the way to Reading the other day. And I guess it was a guy's office. And so she goes in the office. And then the guy tells her that he's been exposed to COVID. So she turned around and left. And then comes home. And she called my wife and she's all in panic. Like, couldn't believe the son of a bitch didn't call me and tell me before I went.
Yeah, that's the Louis Gohmert approach.
So I hope she doesn't get it, because that would be tragic.
It would be a horror. And you know, of course, that's what Louis Gohmert did the other day. They told him he was positive, and then he went in person to tell his staff in person when he should have gone somewhere, you know, home.
She got four other people, four other family members living with her. She's divorced now, but I hope they don't get a cut.
Oh, God. But the problem, you know, it's not that they can't learn, it's that they refuse to learn. Because they have been infected, not with the Rona, but with, among other things, foreign propaganda. All of this mask hole behavior is planned behavior based on disinformation. You know, that stupid documentary, Plandemic.
I had an episode at the grocery store today. I actually told somebody something. I was walking out, and a guy was walking in, and he's getting a splash of hand sanitizer on him. And I noticed he's got a shirt pocket. He's got a mask tucked in there. But he doesn't have it on. So he just forgot to put it on. So I just went, looked over at him and went, "Your shirt pocket." And he goes, "Oh, I'll put it on," and gets it out.
Good for you.
Walked out of the store. Hand sanitizer too.
It's easy to forget. I mean, you would think it isn't, but I think it wears on a person. And like I said, I was walking into the store with Ferg the other day, and halfway through the parking lot, turned and went, "What the hell? I don't have a mask on." Turned around and went back to the car. And I try to be super careful.
Well, I see a lot of people around town wearing those roll things that are on your neck and you just pull them up.
Yeah, I wonder if those work.
Well, they're just the same as a bandana.
Yeah. Although the way I was folding, back when I was using bandanas, the way I was folding the bandana, I was having, you know, like 3-4 layers of fabric. If you fold it right.
Huh. Well, I know at Dollar General they give them out to their employees, those pull-up things. Some of the guys are stocking the shelf. Guys stocking the toilet paper and arranging the paper towels today. Going, oh, wow, they sure got a lot of. Going to Raley's, they finally got toilet paper. It used to be the aisle was that rack was empty from one end to the other.
Yeah, did you notice that line in the audio to the video there that I played at the beginning of the program? He said, "Oh, and he threw paper towels all that in Puerto Rico," and Stephen Root mumbles or mutters, "Yeah, you can't even find any of those anymore."
Have you seen the new one that come out today, National Geographic?
No, I haven't.
Project Ed. I'll email it to you.
Oh, I think I've got it here. I didn't understand the subject line.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
It's Steve, by the way.
Yes, I recognized your voice.
Yeah, you know, a couple things. There is a really good Karen video where the second half of it is a woman on there who she says, "I have breathing problems, I take medication, I'm asthmatic." And she has one of those gauges that tells how much oxygen or whatever is in your breath.
Yeah, an oximeter.
Yeah, so she puts on a surgical mask. And it shows, no, she says here, and she just takes a reading with it off. It's 99. She puts on a surgical mask and takes the air inside, and it's 99. She puts on an N95 mask, and it says 99. And then she puts on one of those, like, super-duper plastic masks with the two filters on either side, and it says 99. And she basically says, if I can wear one, you can wear one, too. It's actually a really good little clip.
Oh, that's potent.
Yeah, I sent it to somebody. I didn't send that to you. I'll have to find it. It was a Karen video, and then about halfway into it, that's when that woman comes on. I thought, wait, what just happened? So yeah. Oh, and you know, I actually did a little research about old Pastor Dickweed. He completely lied.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I found an article that's actually on, you know, Toll Road.
Yeah,
yeah. He posted an article there that Dunkin' Donuts made that they issued that mandate because of him. So there was nothing, this thing about, well, I was doing it every day this week and they didn't say anything. That was a big lie. Yeah, you know what? I can't stand these people. And then one other thing, I wanted to bring a little fucking ray of sunshine to everybody. I was running some numbers today again, and I really hesitate to do this. I was looking, I was comparing the U.S. You know, the way that a lot of the organizations measure per capita, it's per million, like infections per million, deaths per million. I was looking at the U.S. versus the world based upon the Johns Hopkins numbers, and I saw that the infections per million around the world is 2,222. Ours is 13,583, which is over 600% higher than the average, than the world average. And the deaths per million is 86 per million around the world, and ours is 459, which is 530% higher. I mean,
well, it's interesting. It's interesting you bring that up because there's a story that I just saw a little bit ago. It comes from a hospital group,
mm-hmm.
The National Healthcare Safety Network, and they trace infections that are gotten in a hospital. And among other things, they have said that the maggot administration has created, in their words, absolutely a catastrophe from by bungling the reporting. And this is in the wake of the decision on July the 10th by DHHS to tell hospitals to stop reporting their data to CDC and to submit it to HHS through a private vendor, which can then bury the data where hopefully nobody will see it. The Missouri Hospital Association spokesman Dave Dillon said, "The most pernicious portion of it is that at the state level and at the regional level, we lost our situational awareness. At the end of this, we may have a fantastic data product out of HHS. I will not beat them up for trying to do something positive about the data, but the rollout of this has been absolutely a catastrophe. The site hasn't been, as of this morning, the site hasn't been updated since July 23rd. So there's no, you know. And it goes back to that old saying I learned when I was a little baby archaeology student. No provenance, no goddamn data. I mean, they're bioterrorists, Steve. I keep saying it and saying it and saying it in hopes that we will start describing them as such. You know, then there's another jackass. This went off in Texas, according to the Texas Tribune. He's one of the more hardcore maggoty members of the Texas legislature. His name's Representative Tony Tinderholt. Well, he got put in the hospital last week, and he made news because he's the first member of the Texas legislature to come down with the Rona. He's from Arlington. He sent a text message to the Texas Tribune saying, "I truly thought last Friday was going to be my last. I would like for people to try to mitigate risk by wearing masks, but wear them because you think it's right. I'm sure it works to some degree. It just didn't for me." Oh, God.
You know,
and he's a member of the Texas version of the House Feed 'em carcass, and they were the ones who were hooting and hollering, "Gotta reopen the economy." They were right there behind Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick when he said Granny and Grandma needed to just shuffle off this mortal coil to save the economy.
Bob, I don't. First of all, I understand the whole notion of a mask mandate. But I'll tell you something, what really gets me about that is it shouldn't be necessary. I don't know if you saw this, there was an article in the New York Times. It was a video. And what they did was they interviewed a number of young adults. There was two in New Zealand. One was in South Korea. One, I believe, was in – he might have been Tanzania. And
– oh, you mean people around the world respond to the United States?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
And they showed the mass graves in New York, and those two – young women from New Zealand, their eyes bugged out of their head, and they said there was mass graves in the U.S. And then the South Korean woman, she actually started crying. She's like, "I just can't believe this. This is absolutely insane."
these bioterrorists have done damage to this country that will take far longer to get over than anything any 6'6" Arab with a portable dialysis machine ever thought of doing. So 150,000 by three, that's 50,000 9/11s that Donald Trump is responsible for.
Yeah. No, 50 9/11s.
I mean, 50 9/11s. I'm sorry. You know me. Math. Ciphering.
But let's break it down. That's one every 2 months. I'm one every day for 2 months. About.
Yeah. And we are at one a minute deaths in this country. What's it going to be like when we get to one every 30 seconds?
Because I'm telling you, all you got to do is you look at how those the new shit has spun. And I put my little data every now and then when I send it to you. You look at the graph. The graph for us for the past month and a half has been almost straight up.
And they're all. David in South Carolina, Stan, sent me a note saying, "Yeah, we're going to school." And it's a tweet from Jamie Harrison. You remember the senatorial candidate that Lindsey Graham had, the black guy that he had put in blacker face. "This photo is from my hometown of Orangeburg, South Carolina, but it looks more like a war zone or a refugee camp. Our healthcare system is teetering on the verge of collapse. We need proper resources from the federal government before it's too late." And that's all over the Confederacy. And among other things, David pointed out, and this from the Atlanta Journal, 260 coronavirus cases tied to North Georgia camp outbreak, a children's camp in North Georgia.
Oh, impossible. They can't get it.
Right. Of the 597 attendees and staff at the camp, 344 were tested, 260 tested positive. The CDC said the attack rate of all attendees was 44%. And it was run by the YMCA. And according to the report, the camp followed guidelines issued by Governor Brian Kemp's office in May. And as of July 10th, about 85 cases of the virus had been linked to Camp High Harbor. And again, that was July 10th. Now it's up to 260.
It's exasperating.
It's infuriating. It's terrifying. Because at this point in time, it feels like we're outnumbered. That those of us trying to get it right are you know, climbing a vertical face with one foot in the bucket. I mean, for Christ's sakes, I was out today. I got passed, and it's tourist season here, and I got passed by a car from Massachusetts, a car from Virginia, a car from Ohio, a car from Florida, a car from South Carolina, and a car with a Trump 2020 make America, keep America great, and he had, of course, a West Virginia plate. What are these people thinking? Or are they thinking at all? I mean, is it much worse? Because I always assume, you know, whatever it is, there's a third of this country that will get it fucking wrong because they're maggots. Is it higher than that? You were talking about being a little ray of sunshine, Steve, but honest to Jesus, how do we get to January the 20th? Even assuming that we can get rid of this monstrosity, this two-legged plague. Assuming we can get rid of him, how do we make it to January 20th? Or am I just being...
No, I here's what I will say. And this is, I always find myself having to check myself regarding the numbers. And one of those is this. It's oftentimes the perception can be that there are a lot more nutballs than there are, simply for no other reason than they're the ones who are vocal. You know, it's the ones going on, you know, YouTube, etc., bragging, quote unquote, about how they didn't wear a mask because they're not a sheep. But you're not seeing people go on YouTube and say, "Yes, I wore a mask because I care about other people."
They reveal themselves.
Bingo. I think so. In that regard, Bob, I don't think it is as daunting. But I think the problem is, you know, the maggots aren't sprinkled. They're not diluted throughout the country where they can't do as much harm. They're concentrated in certain areas where
they can be weaponized.
Yeah, which is, I mean, think of Florida. Think of Texas. Think of Georgia.
You know, Dave in South Carolina, Stan, just made an observation, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And it really draws a bright line as to why this is the way it is. The subject line to David's note reads, Chernobyl. The pandemic in USA is handled as Chernobyl was handled in the Soviet Union. Data is hidden. Disinformation is spun. Scientists are silenced.
Yep.
Gosh, I wonder where we would have gotten such a methodology.
You know, I want to say one thing. I don't want to talk very much tonight, by the way. I want to do a lot more listening, because I've been talking too much of late. There was actually an interesting article in ProPublica about that basically takes Cuomo and de Blasio to task and highlights that their response really wasn't as good as a lot of people might say. And they start with the fact that, you know, right now there is, depending on how they're counted, there's either 24 or 25 or about 32,000 deaths in New York. And apparently this article talks in here about health professionals and doctors had told de Blasio and Cuomo fairly early on to say, look, You got to shut down, and they were hesitant. They didn't do it as quickly as they should have. And I started reading this, and I'm thinking about this, and I thought, well, yeah, on one hand, I agree that, you know, well, and also the thing about where Cuomo moved all the people into the nursing homes was a big mistake. But as I said, where I can cut a little bit of slack is that I'm not quite, you know, no, they didn't really, given that the federal government did not fully inform everyone what was going on, and the states didn't, you know, don't have access to the intelligence that the federal government does, I can kind of excuse a little bit of state and locality thinking, you know, we're not quite sure what to do. And not only that, but, you know, to take a city, let's say a city like New York or a state like New York, a city of 8 million, a state of 20 million, to say, okay, everyone, we're going to shut down and you have to stay home. And I can understand that Cuomo and de Blasio may have seen that and thought, if I do that, we're talking panic. We're talking, kind of between a rock and a hard place. I can kind of get it. My only caveat is they should have seen Italy at that point. They should have seen what happened in China at that point.
But they did see it, Steve. And here's the thing: the notion of American exceptionalism is primarily a right-wing trope.
Of course.
But it infects, I think, everyone and everything. Well, you know, I mean, Italy, I mean, that's 'cause Italy, you know, and that's mm-hmm. not us. I mean, we're not like that. We're America.
Right.
And we are all on either side of the aisle. We are liable for thinking that way sometimes.
I agree. I could not agree more. But here's where I will say is the mistakes that Cuomo made, and he made lots, at least it what looks like, given what happened afterwards and since, is that he basically at least learned from his mistakes and said, okay, this is what we have to do, which is why New York was able to do what it's done. Okay, fine. What when I look at DeSantis and I look at the you know, the people, all, you know, again, COVID Act now, the entire Confederacy is in bright red. You look at those states have no excuse for getting it, for hesitation or getting it wrong, because right here on their doorstep, the country's doorstep, New York, New Jersey, all those states up there, all they had to do was look and see, oh shit, what's going to happen, and here's how to stop it. So in that regard, I don't cut the people in those states any slack, because they had a case study in exactly what to do. And you know, the huge irony is DeSantis at that press conference about a month and a half ago saying, look, we were supposed to burn up here in Florida and it's not happening. It's, you know, we've been opening up and you said we were going to be like New York and it's been 8 weeks. And
then the goddess of irony kicked his ass.
And then she kicked his ass. I mean, that's what happens when you tempt fate. And not even, it's not tempting fate. It's like, look, this is what's going to happen.
And see, here's what I'm looking at COVID Act now, right now, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I don't understand. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York are all marked slow disease growth.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont's the only green state, which, mm-hmm. considering that Vermont means green mountains, is a little bit ironic. You know, she's paying attention. New Hampshire is marked slow disease growth. Maine is marked slow disease growth. But Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, and this has got to scare folks like Albert and Charlene and Terry and Amherst, where only the H is silent, and Darlene, they are at risk. They were on track to control, and now they're at risk.
I actually had an email exchange with the folks over at the website, because I had a question about, it was actually a county in, Steuben County. I don't remember where, it was Steuben County, which is in Western New York, where they had it as green, but when I looked, but the infection rate was over one. And I emailed them. I said, why is this green when this was the case? And the person emails me back and she says, well, we have it as yellow. And she said, can you send me a screenshot? And I sent her a screenshot. And she says, I was looking at it before they had the new indicator. If you look at the indicators they have something on the far left called daily new cases.
Yeah.
It's that one alone that determines that is the default for the color. Then after that, they take in the other figures. And if I remember right, this one in this Steuben County, New York, it's got an infection rate at 1.35, but it's got the daily new cases at 0.9 per 100,000. So what that, I mean, what does that tell us? That tells us that that 1.35, which is R sub zero rate, is much higher there than it is in Massachusetts or even Connecticut. So the thing is that I've become not so big a fan of COVID Act now because I don't what I don't like is they put I think they're a little bit, I don't want to say misleading, but if when you look at these numbers and look at the colors, it's not clear what's making their
determination. Well, right, I'm looking at the county where I was born in Alabama. Uh-huh. And it has turned red. And it has apparently turned red because of those daily new cases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the total population of the county is, but it can't be a hell of a lot more than 100,000 because the county seat is 40-ish. But they're experiencing 25.7 cases per 100,000. So that's basically 25.7 new cases a day. And that's dangerous for a county with maybe two hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Which county is it? I'm just curious.
Lauderdale. It's the northwesternmost county in the state of Alabama.
Okay. And I don't want to get into like a discussion here going over this with you.
No. I understand. But, I just heard from Jeremy in Vermont. And Jeremy says, 1,414 cases in Vermont as of yesterday, one new death, 57 total deaths. Today, a statewide mask mandate it went into effect, and looks like most are complying with it.
Yeah, they had an R sub zero, I think, of 0.69.
As to American exceptionalism, Cynthia just chimed in and said, "Hi, Bob. I object. America is exceptional. Exceptionally stupid."
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
maybe. Okay. Maybe not all of us are. Yeah, because, I don't think we've got any mask holes and COVIDiots in our number.
I would agree. But, again, looking at your county, you'll note the infection rate is 1.03, which is actually respectable.
Yeah.
And the ICU headroom, 24%, which is respectable.
Right. And if you look at West Virginia as a total, 7 per 100,000. Which is low levels, according to them, a statewide infection rate of 1.03. They say we have positive testing, we have adequate testing, but I fail to understand how that can be when it takes 4 to 7 days to get a test back. But we're at 3.3%. Our ICU headroom is in good shape, they say, and we've contact traced 36% of cases. Now, on the other hand, guess whose county is red?
Yours?
Yep.
Are you Fayette?
Yep. We're at 100% of our ICU headroom. And we are at 5.1 per 100,000 cases. That shows, that gives you a yellow. But the 100% ICU headroom means that we are at... that's what kicks us into red status. In that case, it's not the new daily new cases, it's the ICU headroom. And so tomorrow, in three separate locations, we're going to have three, and I know I've been hammering on this for three days now.
Here we go. Oh, my God, Bob.
Tomorrow we're going to have three separate super spreader events of up to or more than 500 people. Now, what's that daily new case is going to look like 14 days from now? And this county, once upon a time, this county's lifeblood was coal. And the little town that I'm nearest to, it had three grocery stores, two movie houses, three banks, hardware stores. You know, it was a going concern. Small town America. Well, Cole died. And between the death of Cole in this county, more or less, and the late 70s, it just lay dormant. And that's when I got to know it best as a kid. And then a couple of visionaries decided to start taking flatlanders down the rivers in rubber boats. And that has burgeoned into, you know, a $15 or $20 million a year industry, depending on the quality and size of the average of the given tourism year.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, vacation rental cabins are popping up all over the place. There's a huge complex, you know, zip lines, big swimming pools. And then somebody got out of the boat and climbed a rock, and that turned into another industry, rock climbing. And so, you know, kind of like the swallows returning to Capistrano, we look every year, beginning about March, we start watching for those out-of-state plates, because that means that that some portion of this county will live at something better than subsistence levels for at least 7 months or so. And as an aside, that's always been one of my concerns about a tourism economy is its seasonal nature. Because you've got to be like the ant and not the grasshopper. So we've got a bunch of, you know, mostly younger people who can live from basically April-ish to the third Saturday in October and work like mad and stash away enough money to keep them alive in November, December, January, February, and back to March. And I've always been a big booster of this idea of a tourism economy. It's not particularly green because there's a lot of carbon being expended getting people here. But people come here and they spend their money. And I've always been one to say, oh, hey, I see your, you know, I see your Nebraska plates. Welcome to West Virginia. Because the same people who go rock climbing in like Utah eventually want to come and go rock climbing here. And our river guides, they'll do a season here, and then they'll take off and do whitewater guiding in Costa Rica. And so it was, and it's spawned, and everybody's heard me talk about, you know, this hip little restaurant culture and fun little stores and people who live here who really want to live here. And it's made it a much, much better place. We still can't quite outvote the Baptists and the Methodists, so the politics still sucks. But it's been good for this area. And you can't get black lung from guiding people down the river or teaching them how to climb a cliff face. But now, in this year, man, those out-of-state plates just scare the daylights out of me. And with no offense to our family community members in Massachusetts, I saw that Massachusetts plate today because I do keep up with the numbers and stuff. I'm like, oh shit, because everybody, it's like that Lincoln Project thing. How do you know if you've got it? Well, you can't. So you can be as conscientious as possible, but never have a symptom and kill a few people. And I don't know about the rest of the group, but that is a conscientious torment. The mere thought of it. And of course, the folks with the out-of-state plates are the ones who, if you happen to see them in the Kroger or the Walmart parking lot or what have you, you can guarantee they're not wearing a goddamn mask because, hey, West Virginia's got it under control. That's not to say that we don't have our fair share of mask-hole covidiots here, because we do. This is one of the most poorly educated states in the union, and it tells. But people are beginning to get a clue. And I just can't help wondering if it's too late. I mean, it's obviously too late for the people who are already dead. And it's like what I said earlier. What does it mean? What does it look like to say, get to January 20th, 2021? What does this country look like, feel like, when the deaths pass a million? Because, let's see, August, September, October, November, December. You're the data nerd, Steve. You see how you see what the uptick looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could we have a half a million by inauguration day?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but Dr. Is it Redling? The guy, the CDC. I think he's the CDC guy.
Yeah, he's the head of the CDC. Redwine?
You know what he said by the end of this year? 800,000. He said he wouldn't be surprised if it were 800,000 by year's end.
And what is there an end? Is there an upper limit to the ability of intelligent people to tolerate the stupid ones? The Greg Locks of the world. I ain't gonna get worse. It's a hoax. I mean, we see all these videos of all these COVIDiots shrieking and hooting about their, their rights. And yet, it is apparent, it is an act of considerable restraint that we don't see videos of people beating the living piss out of them. I guess because maybe they're afraid of going to jail. And that is the, that's the effect of having the law in place. So you can't kick the shit out of them. But at the same time, the cops won't come and arrest these jerks crowding a hallway in Hollywood. And none of the law enforcement people, none of them, and we have a statewide mask mandate. I have yet to see a member of law enforcement wearing a mask.
That's a good point.
Now, they are in more contact with the public than just about anybody.
And when they pull you over, they're right in your face, too.
Right. So, you know, and what, you get pepper sprayed if you say, would you please put on your mask if you're going to be that close to me? I guess the right word is frustrating, Steve's.
Yeah, at a minimum.
But it's also a matter of there's a soupçon of infuriating there, too. And here's a link from Jude. And I've talked some with Chris in Germany about this, too. Pentagon headline, Pentagon orders installations to stop reporting coronavirus cases as military-linked infections eclipse 1,000. This is from Stars and Stripes. Jude says, I discovered our local health department, and she lives near a military installation, was not to be given data on COVID-19 numbers of those infected at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Tacoma. And what's curious about that is exactly the same attitude that turned the 1918 flu into a pandemic. All the various militaries were getting burned up by it, But all the various militaries wanted to keep it on the DL so that the other people, so that the other side wouldn't know about it.
National security.
And so that made it spread even further and even faster. So again, I ask the question. What does getting to January 20th, 2021 look like? Jeremy in Vermont says, I believe that same CDC doctor you're speaking of also said, hey, you small towns and small cities who think you're safe, wake the fuck up, you're not. It's coming to you next. Yeah. But then they also, but the CDC also caved and waffled when Nitwit Nero threw a tizzy about schools reopening. They jimmied the school reopening requirements. David in South Carolina, Stan, reminds us, COVID deaths, the original prediction for USA was 2.2 million deaths. This was published in UK in March or April. And they brag. Corona Caligula brags.
Well, it's only 150,000. It could have been 20 million. Look at me.
You know, that's Caesar looking at the old man. That's Caesar looking at the old man and saying, well, old man, the Ides of March are here. And the old man says, but not yet gone.
And you know what? Let me also say something a little bit. On another note, I posted some interesting articles in the chat room. One on topic, one was about the Michael Flynn thing. I don't know if you saw that, Bob. But we always have to be careful of the models, and we have to really look at the underlying assumptions. Would there ever have been 2 million? I don't know. But the notion that 150,000 is somehow some sort of fucking accomplishment, that's 59-11s, folks.
Steve, I think we could have gotten to 2 million if we had
done nothing.
Stopped. Yeah, if we hadn't stopped any sports and kept playing and concerts and all that kind of stuff, we would have definitely gotten past 2 million. So,
if we would have pulled a Sweden. Wasn't Sweden the one that never shut down at all?
Yeah.
And they look pretty bad compared to their Scandinavian brothers and sisters.
I mean, do these people honestly, seriously, honestly think this is a hoax? I mean, what? I don't get what they think. What is this all a lie? Is this not existing? Is it?
Jeebus is going to protect you.
Well, obviously, Jeebus ain't.
It's the new snake handling,
to your point,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I just don't understand. It's like
I don't either.
It's
And Steve, if you watch any of the hearings today, they tried to demonize Fauci. Everyone on the right.
It's oh, like Jim Shorts Jordan made a straight up. Well, I mean, like this is news. Made an ass of himself.
He did.
Yeah, he tried to blame. Black Lives Matter for the spread of the disease. Never mentioned Corona Palooza in Tulsa, though.
And not only that, Bob, but you've probably seen this, is that there have been a number of studies that and doctors and whoever have looked at that and said that they actually expected there to be spikes, but for some reason there weren't. And they said if you looked at any videos of the protests, a lot of people were wearing masks. And if you actually looked at them from above, people were doing a certain amount of social distancing. I mean, look at Lewis's funeral. Look in the congregation. Everyone was wearing a goddamn mask.
Right. Something that simple, a fucking mask, could make a huge difference.
but they're too arrogant because it's against the Constitution.
Right, and but that the people gathered in social distancing inside Ebenezer Baptist Church are part of a community that has been hit hardest by this damn thing. So they understand that they understand the consequences of being scofflaws. And when you said earlier, what are they thinking, talking about the COVIDiots, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing. They are, by virtue of who and what they are, absolutely convinced that they are bulletproof, that Donald Trump is protecting them, and everything's going to be just fine because he said it is, and they believe every word that comes out of his festering gob.
I mean, I think of my mom, which is exactly, you know, I was talking to her, and she said something along the lines of, she's been going to her, she does Pilates. I've been going to Pilates, and they make me wear a mask. I said, Mom, that's a good thing. I mean, there's a, at that point, you know, 100,000 people. Well, I don't think it's that many. I said, what are you talking about? And I really have to, I have to avoid basically talking about this with my mom because.
Well, obviously.
She's gone. Triggering. She's gone hook, line, and sinker for the death yam.
Like beating your head against the wall.
Yeah. And then she said something very interesting to me. She said, Steve, I mean, my mom was young when I was – she had me when she was 19. I'm 49. Mom is only 69. She says – and she keeps telling me how she's an old lady, and I'm like, okay, whatever. She says, I have to – in my mind, I can't – I get too scared if I start thinking it's as bad as it is, something along those lines.
So it's a defense mechanism for her?
Yeah. So if you sit in a burning house and you say the house isn't burning,
it smells like marshmallows,
you won't be afraid of being immolated in the house fire. But immolated you will, by God, be.
Yeah.
But what? As much as I can understand what she's saying, I can also see that it's not rational.
No, it's not. And she's doing it not really because she's afraid, but because acknowledging the reality of it would challenge her essential bias universe. It's not by because they seek bias confirmation. And this constitutes bias. What's the opposite of confirmation?
I don't know. Discrepancy?
No. Is that the right? Disconfirmation, at least according to the Big Lebowski.
Discontinuity?
Disconfirmation. Okay, sure. And so if you've got bias disconfirmation, then suddenly you're up to your eyeballs in cognitive dissonance.
And there might actually have to be some self-actualization.
And the next thing you know, all the little Martian heads are exploding in all the little fish bowls because that cognitive dissonance is the functional equivalent of playing Slim Whitman.
It's really tough to say, gee, yesterday I made a mistake. I'm sorry for it. It's even tougher to say, what I've been doing for the last week I've now discovered is wrong. But when you have to say, what I've been doing for the last 11 years complaining about Obama and supporting Trump has been wrong, you can't get people to do that, no matter how much we try.
Excellent point, Roger. I'm getting a little too personal here, then I promise I'm going to shut up after this because I'm hogging time. We don't talk. She and I don't talk. I mean, I said to her one time, I said, Mom, this is a person who, I mean, I have health care. As imperfect as it is, I have health care because of the ACA. And I told her that. I said, Mom, he wants to get rid of my health care. And it just didn't – never computed.
Well, you, I mean, but so what's the difference between her and Bill Barr? You heard his testimony the other day. You heard him questioned. You heard him told flat out, you are arguing in court trying to take health care away from the American people. You heard his answer. No one's going to have their health care taken away. I'm not even trying to do Bill Barr, and I think I just did Bill Barr.
Yeah. It can't happen here.
No, don't. It's beyond that. It's don't believe your lying eyes and ears.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, that's a good segue. I don't want to beat up a dead bullfrog, but what else does the House have to do before the election besides maybe draw up some impeachment papers for Mr. Barr? We've belabored this point for what, 2 years since the fucker became the AG. Can we just do it?
No, we can't. I mean, I got no problem, but it hurts us because you've already seen the trope trotted out.
Well, the reason that Trump wasn't able to do as much about the Rona is because the goddamn Democrats made him focus on impeachment. They spent all their time on impeachment, not saving the American people.
Okay. All right. Then, yeah, we should have done that the moment he went up there and lied about the Mueller report. He should have been impeached right there.
Yeah.
It was such a
The calculus that goes with electoral politics is positively sickening. But by the same token, the people, and Chris, I'm not saying you. Same token, though, the urge to declare, you know, well, do whatever, you know, we got to do it anyway, and damn the consequences.
Yeah.
Well, you cannot do anything until you have power. I mean, that was what was so utterly maddening yesterday. Watching those members of the Sparkle Fart Propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol dump on John Lewis on the day of his funeral. I'm still not over it.
Nor should you be, nor should any of us. It's a huge bellwether, I guess, for the election day. If these people are that butthurt on the day of John Lewis's funeral, are they going to vote the right way? Are they going to pass their every 4-year IQ test? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't either. I mean, as I read down that thread, and I'm not going to name names, as I read down that thread, there was a whole lot of, you know, and that's why I can't, you know, and that's why I can't vote for lesser evil, still evil, which is just another way of saying I value my privilege more than my fellow Americans' fucking lives. And I despise it. Gags me.
Sleep throughout the entire Trump administration?
Well, no, they haven't. No, Trump's awful. But, you know, his awfulness is gonna bring the apocarev, don't you know? Remember when Jill fucking
Sarandon? Yeah,
Susan Sarandon said
Jimmy Dore and all those fuckers.
Yeah, but when Susan Sarandon said, you know, lotuses bloom out of the mud.
I'm sick and tired of the mud and the shit.
And flies come out of piles of shit to infect you.
I can't take it anymore.
Well, again, I think you have to understand. Remember that these are people who are they're vocal, so they seem louder and more numerous than they are. I mean, these are the people talking about how many signs Bernie had. So, you know, or how many people were at the rallies. I wish someone would say to them is, how many fucking times did you take a bat to the head? for voting rights.
Right.
How many times did you almost die?
Oh, but they,
on your own soil.
They typed ferociously on. Yeah, it just it, no. And as Jeremy points out in Vermont, the right is now trying to canonize Herman Cain as we speak, saying, well, he was old and probably was okay with dying horizontally crucified with a tube down his neck, and he wasn't. It's a fake virus, guy. He was fucking literally dead wrong. But the thing is, and I've seen it going around, oh, I mean, he had stage 4 cancer. No, he had beaten stage 4 cancer.
Saw that too.
Yeah.
Jude points out the only non-maskers I viewed in the four times at Portland's federal courthouse was a group of 9 middle-aged white men and women holding that bluish-black American flag in support of police. And that includes the 5,000 last Saturday.
Well, that figures. Hey, Bob, I have a question. Well, a couple things. And this may sound a bit too callous and too soon, but I think the epitaph for Herman Cain's his headstone is going to be "Blame Myself."
I was thinking "Too Dumb to Live."
Now, the other thing is tomorrow, and the number that I've been seeing is way too large, but. Is it true that 28 million people are not going to be able to make their rent payment tomorrow?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I can see some kind of like bonus.
And all of the forgiveness is over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also people not making their power bills. It's people not making their car payments. It's people not making their insurance payments.
And these bastards left town today. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we tried.
They left town yesterday.
Was it yesterday, Duncan?
Yeah, it was. It was yesterday because they never work on Fridays because they got to get back to the district. And see, you were asking earlier about is there anything really left to be done in this Congress? And the answer is in the waning months of the second session of any Congress, nothing gets done. Because that's when members, and you know, it applies to Republicans as well as Democrats. You got to campaign.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Now, Bob, I've heard this theory, and tell me if you think this carries any merit. They're going to wait until like 3 weeks out before the election and then dump a pile of money on folks so they can try to buy everybody's vote.
It'll be too late.
I just heard the theory. I just wanted to get your all's feedback on it. I hadn't really had the time.
All the people will be out on the street already.
Yeah.
The other thing is, for those states that do mail-in voting and people that do absentees, the ballots come out sometimes as early as 4 weeks prior to the election date. And a lot of people get them. Like here in Oregon, I get my ballot. I live in Eugene. And they come out of the county courthouse here in Eugene, and I get my ballot really quick after I get notified that they're being sent. And I fill it out and drop it off, and it's a good 3 weeks prior to the election. So if you're going to wait till the last 2 weeks to do your campaigning, you're kissing off a shitload of votes.
Well, hey, something, Roger. Something that David, in South Carolina, Stan pointed out, and it was a tweet from Chris Hayes, who has pretty solid instincts. Chris Hayes says whether he's actually aware of it or not, Trump's play here seems to be one: polarize mail-in voting so that his voters are more likely to vote in person on election day; two, declare victory election night; three, fight against counting mail-in ballots because they're fraudulent / tainted.
Yeah, I mean, I can take a crap out in the garden and throw as many piles of shit up against the side of the house as I want to, but it's still shit up against the side of the house.
Well, oddly enough, I think places like Oregon and California that have, for all intents and purposes, universal mail-in voting, are in better shape than the states that are going to do it on an ad hoc basis.
All right. Now, here becomes a serious problem. California and Oregon, Washington, Utah, I think, and the other states have already got it set up to feed those ballots through what, as a teacher, I refer to as a Scantron machine. You put up the stack of ballots, it feeds through, it reads them, and you pull off a sample amount and hand count to make sure that your machines are tabulating correctly, blah, blah, blah. The places that this is going to really, really take a toll are those places who have tried to eliminate absentee voting, and they do not have the machines to do it. And all those ballots have to be hand counted, and then they have to do the statistical analysis to check whether or not the people that are doing the counting of the ballots have done it correctly, and they're going to be hurting for people. Now, all the ballot counting has to be done in a secure space, and historically, that has meant a whole lot of people in a room. And all the ballots are in that room, and the people go into the room, and they do their stuff. And if they need to take a leak, they have to leave the room, and they get checked. They're not carrying any ballots out or any ballots back in. And it's a very time-consuming process to hand count it. And this is why it's taking so long on the absentee ballots, is because they don't have the infrastructure to count thousands of ballots an hour. They can only do hundreds per hour.
Roger brought up a good point there, close proximity, right? If everybody's got to be in a tight, secure room, I mean, how do you keep that COVID-free?
That was the reason I brought that up. But now the other side of it is, we're not able to find the volunteers to staff the polling places.
Because most of those volunteers have traditionally been older Americans who are massively more at risk.
And this is why you end up with one polling place. Was it Louisville, Kentucky, at a fairgrounds, that one polling place for a couple of 100,000 voters?
650,000, yeah.
I was going to say 600, but I thought I was exaggerating on that.
No, that's right.
So, you know, the mail-in is the only way to do this, and the only way for it to happen is to provide, and again, I'll use the term Scantron machine, you know, the old bubble fill in the test number that you took in school?
Yeah, sure.
And you fire it off. And I mean, those machines can do thousands of ballots an hour. And they just, every once in a while, you need to put in a test run. That has been marked, and you know exactly what it is, and you reset your counters, and you put your stack of 100 ballots in with votes for every single person, blah, 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 and a few screw-ups and the rest of that, and run it through and make sure your software is still recording all ballots accurately. And you have this test packet that you put in that you know exactly what's there because you've done it. You know, you've got it out. And when the readout comes and it matches what those ballots were that you knew what they were, okay, time to run another 1,000. And
you know, there's another wrinkle to all of this, Roger. Another reason that they hate mail-in ballots. The Republican Party all over this country worked tirelessly to try to make sure that they suppressed the vote through their idiotic voter ID laws. Because, when you showed up to vote in person, whether it be early voting or on the day of, you had to show your ID. For the first time in my life, I had to do that in the 2018 elections here. When I vote, you know, every election. Well, it doesn't quite work the same way with mail-in balloting, does it? I mean, there's where's the opportunity to suppress the vote by requiring a photo ID?
No, it doesn't. I've only have experience in California and Oregon. When I got my sample ballot in California, about a month out from the election, the idea is you fill out your sample ballot and then you take it to the polling place so you don't have to sit there for 2 hours trying to figure out whether you want to vote yes or no on Proposition A and all the rest of that shit. There was a little postcard that I'd prefer to vote absentee this year. And I remember it used to be absentee, you had to be absent from the county, which is back when I was in the military back in the 60s. But then they changed it to, if you want to vote by mail, send the postcard back in. Then, when I was registering voters, this is in the late 90s and early 2000s, when you registered to vote, you could sign up for perpetual mail-in ballot. And once they've checked your Social Security number, your driver's license, a signature, and they check all that and make sure you're not co-registered in some other jurisdiction, they just send the shit to you in the mail. You fill it out, you send it back. If the signature kind of matches, I know I say kind of, it has to do with my 95-year-old mother and her signature that got bonzo before she died. It gets accepted, but every signature on every ballot was checked against the database. So it's simply checked on a signature compared to when you registered, what your driver's license looks like, and they just say it's it. And the amount of fraud is fucking zero.
Sure. It's actually less prone to fraud than in person is. Now here, let me throw another wrinkle. Have you seen the stories around the country of people receiving unsolicited packets of seeds from China?
I've seen the information, yeah.
Yeah, I figured you'd probably heard of it, Roger. I mean, it's happening in just about every state. I don't know. When they get down to sending them to West Virginia, you get my point. But people are being advised, you know, don't open them and don't plant them.
Makes sense.
Now, we already know, though, that Nitwit Nero has claimed that China will mess with mail-in voting. What if this is, and, you know, let me get my Alex Jones hat and voice out. False flag! What if this Chinese seed mail thing is a means by which the Trump administration can claim that Americans are already under attack by malicious mailings?
I'm sorry, Bob, but is there any tinfoil left in any fucking grocery store?
I'm sorry. I mean, I look at everything now. I assume that there is malicious intent when those fuckers get up in the morning and take the first whiz of the day. Or dribble in the case of Nitwit Nero.
I would not disagree that the seed number could be a method of attempting to introduce either an invasive species or an invasive pest to further decimate our very fragile food system. Because with the corporatization of our food supply chain, we are very fragile, however you want to count it. Depending on non-papered individuals for harvesting our fresh fruits and vegetables to the packing houses which process and the COVID-19 outbreaks at the various food processing plants and the very easy contamination of E. coli from the washing processes of a lot of our fresh leafy greens, our food system is incredibly fragile. And it's not going to take much to tip it over the edge. And this seed thing was related in some of the stuff I've read to the giant kudzu invasion in the South a few years back. But if these seeds happen to be inoculated with some particular pest, or it becomes some incredibly easily naturalizing nasty plant, it could seriously affect, and this may simply be a biological attack on the United States.
Yeah, but Bob, what do these seeds grow? Do they grow like a magic beanstalk up to Yao Ming's castle?
I don't know. Ralph's just
Nobody
sent
me. Nobody knows. That's why they don't want you to plant them.
Ralph's just sent me a photo. Said, "Here's what happens when you plant those Chinese seeds." And it was a picture of the monster plant from Little Shop of Horrors. Feed me, Seymour. You know that one?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But no, I mean, yeah. I get everything you're saying, Roger. And that makes totally logical sense.
Now, the FDA and various state agricultural places are pleading with people. Give them to us. Do not throw them in the trash. We do not want them growing in a landfill. We want to get them. We want to find out what they are. We want to do some research on them. So to the best of my knowledge, nobody yet knows what type of plant it should come out. I mean, if they were little round seeds, I've seen pictures of them, and they're not little round seeds like broccoli or cauliflower, and they don't look like carrot seeds because they're too big. They're not like a pea seed. They're not like a squash seed. They're a shape that I simply don't recognize as a common edible crop. I could be wrong. I just said I don't recognize them as that.
Well, here's my little Alex Jones paranoia thing. Let me flesh it out just a little bit more. What if you had, because remember, and God, I don't even like going here. You remember during 2018 when we were being invaded by caravans?
Yes. Yeah.
How could we forget? I was shaking.
I was convinced. I was absolutely convinced that the maggots were behind that. That they were ginning this thing up so that it could be used to terrify Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barker loungers. Still convinced of that. What if you had a maggot operation in China sending these seeds, and what if it turns out that they're completely innocuous? I mean, they'd be an invasive species, more than likely. But turns out they're completely innocuous. But it proves a means of alleging Chinese interference in American daily life. Then it's kind of no harm, no foul on the seeds themselves. But you've got a reason, the maggot administration has a reason or an ability to say, hey, look at those seeds they sent. Well, that's how we know they're fucking with mail-in ballots. That's why we can't count them. We don't know if they're really American ballots or if they're ballots from China. Now, I know that's crazy. I know that's paranoid as hell. But I'm thinking like they think.
Yeah, they. I wouldn't put anything past him, Bob. He's a cornered rat. He's got to do everything it takes to stay out of prison. He'll do anything.
But the problem there Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and it has to do with the absolute ignorant assholes that listen to maggots. When you get a mailed-in ballot, I am not absolutely convinced that somebody in the elections office may not, in fact, be able to identify your ballot to your person. Because every single mail-in ballot I have ever gotten is slightly different than the one that my wife has gotten. Okay?
Got a different number on it. It's probably
different,
got a
number,
barcode on the envelope.
And the barcoding and the rest of it. And I was always of the opinion that this was simply to make sure that I could not run over to my printer. And I have a magic printer that can absolutely, totally reproduce on the exact same paper, the exact same ink, identical copies of whatever it is I want to copy. That's my magic printer. But every single ballot is unique. Okay? Now, they know all those unique markings on that ballot. And if any ballot comes in that doesn't have the proper unique markings on it, it's a fake ballot. So there is no way in hell that China or Russia or Ukraine or anybody else can print up a whole lot of extra ballots and stuff them into the mail, the bin at the courthouse, and stuff the ballot box. When you have a touchscreen voting machine, there is no paper trail, and those machines can create extra votes. And I think that is the real problem that the maggot crowd is seriously worried about, is that mail-in balloting cannot be falsified the way a touchscreen voting system can be falsified. And they've had 20, 30 years to perfect their touchscreen stolen elections.
I think I listened to the Lincoln Project Town Hall, and I heard Rick Wilson mention the barcodes and stuff. So he's the one, the creative mind behind a lot of these ads. And I think he's going to use that barcode thing in an ad.
Now, speaking of which, let's run the audio to that Nationalist Geographic ad. Because one of the things it does is it uses a fake David Attenborough voice. And curiously enough, we were talking about something similar not too long back. Here we go.
Behold the rare small Paul Trump, Impetus Americanus. Notable for its exotic plumage, the Trump is typically a ruddy orange color not found in nature. Though Impetus was once considered an alpha predator, this elderly specimen now weighs somewhat over 300 pounds due to its diet of fast food. In its youth, it was known to pursue females with other predators like Molestus Epstein. Now it focuses on exploiting its home territory, the United States. Impetus Americanus is known to be a master of deception and considered the most corrupt of its species. Its tweeted cries of anger are meant to distract its prey from its failures as the leader of its pack. Impetus Americanus is considered endangered this November due to its own incompetence and failure.
And once again, no money changed hands in exchange for the running of that audio. And you only get half of it because you're getting the audio of it. The the real humor is in the taxonomic identification. You know, Dirtbagus Epstein, things like that. Oh, and this is good. David in South Carolina, Stan, just said McGovna there in South Carolina, Stan. He just called the hurricane Icy Isis. Almost like there's some, might be related to the Bushes. Cynthia with a note. Hi again, Bob. Thinking like that maggot in the White House, fuck up our response to the virus, fertilize it, and help it along with super spreader events, and come November 3rd with deaths going through the roof, maybe a few dead Congress critters and the like, the orange asshole declares a national emergency and cancels the election. I gather the authority for Trump doing that exists, such as in times like this, and I gather the former Senator Worth is warning about this. I think he was Colorado, and he warned about it on the Brad blog. I think we do ourselves no favor if we assume that there is anything that he won't at least try. By statute, he cannot delay the election. What he can do is do things that keep the election, keep the ballots from being counted. Because always remember, was it Stalin who said, I don't care who votes, I care who counts the votes? That. Speed says, who's getting the seeds? Democrats? I don't know. I saw our Democratic candidate for Secretary of Agriculture here in West Virginia begging people, please don't open them. Don't plant them. Don't even open them. Oh, by the way, Jeremy awarded me a cowbell a little while back for Herman Cain, Too Dumb to Live. Thank you, Jeremy. Jimmy just says, and Jimmy's in Washington State, I'm glad we mail in vote up here. I don't trust the voting booth. And then Steve from Georgia, Stan. Now, what's Doug Collins saying? Is Steve still here?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob. I'm sorry. I had to step away for a minute. I just sent you his, I'm one of his constituents, so I'm on his mailing list. I just sent you a link to where you could open it up and see for yourself what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's some bullshit.
We need law and order.
Same old tripe they've been marching out time and time again. They're a one-trick pony, and they're getting desperate, and that's going to make them dangerous.
There we go. Yep. Oh, it was Lenin. Hey Sailor says it was Lenin who said that. I don't care who votes. I care who counts the votes. As violence across America continues to surge, the only people being violent are the green goons.
That's it.
By the way, Portland was relatively quiet last night because there were no green goons.
Yep.
And another component we haven't touched on, they're trying to rat-fuck the post office.
Oh, yeah. Bob. Yes, Parky.
Bob, Riot Ribs is gone. They cleaned out the park.
Oh, darn. I wonder what they do for sauce. He's bound to have his own sauce recipe.
And last night they were staying the hell away from the fence. They were treating it like it had COVID and stay 6 feet away.
Like it was electrified, Sparky?
Well, they had people standing out in the crowd with loudspeakers, and they were giving speeches. And one guy says, just don't give them any satisfaction. Turn your back to the fence. And
yeah.
They never came out. The night before, well, the streamer I was watching went all the way around the back of the building where the underground parking is or the garage or whatever it is. And the goons came out, and then they ran back in. And so a lot of the people followed them back where they were. And then while they were back there, all of a sudden the door starts coming up, and I start thinking the Star Wars theme from
Darth Vader, and they started coming out and then just started making a line and walking down the street.
Hey, Sparky, it looks like Britovo's trying to get in. I just saw him.
Like, yeah, I did.
He's in, too. He's in.
Oh, okay.
Now, one of the other things, and I saw this today, not last night, I think it was the night before, there were some goons on the roof that were firing tear gas canisters, in essence, vertically from the roof to rain down from high above, it's 8 or 9 stories tall, into the crowds. That they were just rather indiscriminately firing off tear gas canisters from the roof down to the crowds.
They've been doing that for days out of the windows and up above.
I saw the ones out of the windows a couple of days ago, but this just up on the roof firing up in the air, that's no kind of police control. It's total bullshit. Sorry.
And then there was a video I saw yesterday of it happened Wednesday night, I don't know. But they brought out a fire hose. And they started hosing off in front of the fence area from the building side. They came out and started hosing that all back towards the fence. I don't know if it picks up the tear gas and throws it in the water or what when it goes through the fence.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Bobo. Oh.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Hey, John Britovo.
Hey, John. What's going on?
Mr. John.
How y'all doing today?
We've been fretting. Oh, cool, we've been fretting about you some, John.
Faith just showed up too.
Yeah. Everybody's showing up now. We was all late.
Hey, yeah, the last 9 minutes of the program.
John, you're the life of the party. You show up and everybody piles in, man.
John, what we want?
We're running overtime because you, John.
Just came back on.
I was going to say, what we want to know, John, is, are you all right?
Yes, we're fine down here, Bob. I appreciate you asking. We came through Hannah. I lost a couple of tree limbs in the yard, but that's all. A little debris, that had to be cleaned up and stuff. But outside of that, we fared real well. But we didn't lose our internet for that. I did my show earlier. As a matter of fact, I was live, I think, when Sparky first called to come on the horn. And I finished up my show and went to kiss Mama. Well, I didn't kiss her because I could only kiss her on the head nowadays in case I didn't want COVID shit. Anyway, came back in here to get on with the horn, and no internet. Yeah. So we've been sitting out there all evening. My wife's all upset if this internet don't come on. We ain't got TV. But anyway, it just came back on, so I apologize for being late. How are you, Bob?
Still here.
Outstanding. That's the main thing.
That's the thing. I mean,
get up every morning. You're still here. You win the war, buddy.
Every day above the ground is a good one.
That's it, brother. That's it. No, it's been a busy week, though, but, staying on top of it. Got a show every day, just like you, so, we got to prepare, we got to be ready and mass the troops and all that kind of stuff, brother.
Hey, John, how was your beer and bud today on Friday?
My beer and bud, I put the beer in the freezer there for about an hour before I went on live. So, yeah, that beer was nice and cold. And the Cavendish was very flavorful, too.
Cavendish. Virginia Burley.
Yes. That's it. That's the ticket. Yeah, that stuff.
Yes. Well, I've been now that we've got a new and wonderful and functioning refrigerator, I've just been having a wonderful time.
You got a new refrigerator?
Yeah, I got a new refrigerator thanks to the generosity of a wonderful, wonderful listener. And
boy, howdy shit, Bob. I'll tell you what, the depth of love that the Horn family shows you and the Blue Dot family shows me, that love goes way far. There was, yesterday on my live show, I admitted to the group last night that I had indeed discovered a conspiracy amongst the Blue Dot family.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I knew about the conspiracy. I knew who was the leader and all the group members of this conspiracy. And I called them out last night on the show, buddy. I mean, y'all ain't getting away with that shit. They conspired and bought me tires, Bob. I got to go tomorrow into town.
I'll be
I have
damned.
An appointment. 4 new tires on my truck.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's great, man.
Because I had a blowout. Oh, I had a blowout.
Posted a picture. And everybody felt sorry for you.
Yeah. They jumped on board, and next thing I know, I got a phone call this morning from Bernadette. You know Bernadette.
Oh, I know Bernadette. She's one of our Patreon subscribers.
And to let me know, she was one of the co-conspirators in this wrangling.
Dadgum conspiracies.
She's a rabble rouser.
I mean to tell you, brother. But, yeah, the Blue Dot family came through, so tomorrow I'm getting new shoes on my truck. And it's, you know, just like your refrigerator. It's that little help that can go, oh, man.
You know,
so
it seems like a very tiny thing, but being able, you know, we don't get heat like you get heat down there, John. But at this time of year, it gets righteous hot up here, you know, get up in the 90s and whatnot.
Yeah, everybody has been here lately.
And something as simple as being able to lay in a stock of popsicles and ice cream sandwiches and, you know, cooling little treats and have freezer space for it. You really can't appreciate it until you can't do it.
Yeah.
And for the first time in years, we can do that now.
Well,
and so I have discovered
that love is, bro.
I have discovered that Klondike ice cream sandwiches are probably more addictive than OxyContin.
now you can stock up, baby. Go see that dealer.
And what's your proof on that, Bob? Is that your waistline or what?
Generally speaking, yes.
Yeah. Those are fattening. They're good,
but,
though.
Oh, they are so good.
Like I was saying, they got a brand ice cream sandwich here called Fat Boy.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen those.
My wife loves them.
Yeah, it's like 32 grams of fat per serving.
They're not big, long ice cream sandwich.
Oh, and I found something else. This is not ice cream. I found something else that I really enjoy. I got it thinking that Agnes might enjoy one once in a while. But there is a kind of a light version of Blue Moon beer. It's called Light Sky. It's only got 95.
Light Sky.
Yeah, it's only got 95 calories and like 3 or 5 grams of carbs, and it's got a nice flavor and a little kick of like tangerine bitterness.
Hmm.
And you want to talk about refreshing? If you don't like to drink, you know, like full. Full tilt, full body beers. That's probably the best light beer I've ever tasted, ever.
If you don't, don't live in the Northwest, you mean, Bob, right? IPAs pretty much rule the world up here.
Yeah, I know. I think that's probably why I couldn't live up there. I'm all IPA'd out.
I'm actually having a session cerveza. It's very good, Mexican style lager. It's very good.
Well, the thing with me and hops is that I brewed for several years, and I learned something. There is no mistake you can make in brewing, just about.
Really?
That cannot be covered up with a bunch of fucking hops.
That's absolutely right. It's a great equalizer,
I think there's a lot of craft brew out there that just it didn't turn out quite what it was supposed to be, and they said, well, you know, get the front end loader and put a scoop full of hops in. We're going to
call this the triple hop.
Yeah, we're going to call this a triple hopped Russian Imperial barley wine cellar beer.
Should have been something else. Whoops.
Light.
Light. Yeah, right. And I find that high hop beers tend to give me a headache.
What I've heard is that the body doesn't really know what to do with hops very well. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and hops doesn't really, it doesn't have a lot of kinfolk. Roger can check me on this, but I read somewhere that about the only kin that hops has is cannabis.
Oh, yeah?
And it's I grew some one year, and it was fascinating to watch grow, because in the height of the growing season, You could set up stop motion time lapse photography, and you can see that hop vine grow a foot in a day.
Yeah, it's amazing. They grow so fast. It's really cool.
And I love the fragrance of them, but I just don't like my beer to turn my mouth inside out. And you know where IPAs came from in the first place, right, Chris?
Well, I assume it would be India to get beer either from India back to England.
No, it was to get beer to India. The hops served as a preservative so that it would make it from England to India.
Okay.
And so it was just a pale ale, and they threw the hops to, again, they corrected a mistake. Because I guess it was, you know, without the hops, it was getting to India, and it was Goza by then, which is a different style altogether.
Yeah, right.
Well, they had no business calling it India Pale Ale because it was brewed in the UK, Bob. What the hell?
But it was Pale Ale for India.
I know. It's always India Pale Ale, IPAs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think at this point in time, it's
you weren't around to sue them then.
Forget about that.
I think it's proliferated so much that most of your average groovy hipsters don't even know what the IPA stands for.
Right. Well, leave it to a lawyer to point that out, right?
Well, absolutely. you language parson pettifogger, you.
Represent. Rick, okay. Represent.
Yeah. English snob, right?
Oh, and I need to send thanks to Gary. Gary helped out along the way. So I want to thank everybody before we roll on out of here, or before I roll on out of here. For getting us to the end of July, it was looking pretty grim at the beginning of the week, but we finished July the way we needed to, and so we know there will be another month of broadcasting. And I cannot thank all the Patreon subscribers, all the PayPal subscribers, the a la carte contributors, everybody. And in the last 24 hours, Yuki and Scott and Gary and Jeremy, thank you all so very much for wiping out today so we could have a fundraising free Friday on the front porch to end July. It was magnificent. Of course, the front porch, everybody will get up, fold their chairs up, and go around and get on the back porch for the back porch after the live portion of the program closes. It's been a magnificent conversation again tonight, and I appreciate
Sparky's
it all.
Sparky's back porch, Bob.
Yeah,
right. Where are you going, Bob?
Sparky's back porch. Well, I got to close the program out, John, and upload the doggone thing so the podcast crew can get it.
What, 8 o'clock? I thought. How come you leaving early?
I'm not. We switched.
You changed your hours.
We changed the hours back in December.
Oh shit!
I
did not know. I've been on the show since December.
He's got backers hours now, John.
Yeah, we went from 6 to 9. We went from 6 to 9 to 5 to 8 because, among other things, that means that, well, Malloy is now running at 9 o'clock on the horn.
Oh, wow.
And there's a brand new Friday night Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and so on the nights that I fill in for Malloy, it used to be that I'd have to knock off an hour early, meaning the program was only 2 hours. If I was filling in for Malloy, but this way I can do the full 3 hours, and then I've still got the hour to turn the program around and do it at 9.
Well, boy, how to shit. Next Friday, I'll make sure I'm on time.
He filed a grievance with his union rep and got it pushed through, so it's all copacetic.
Yeah, exactly. Hell exactly.
Okay. Agnes is the union rep.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize for this.
No, Agnes,
show,
is, Agnes is management. Agnes is the boss. No worries, John. I've been fretting and worrying and make up because, you know, I saw that damn thing hitting Nueces County and I knew that couldn't be good, but it sounds like you dodged it.
Yeah, we got lucky, dodged a bullet, but I appreciate the thoughts, my friend. I appreciate the thoughts.
Always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll get to talk a little bit more. We've just been going through the madness all evening long trying to figure out and just for
there's
your
no you know, shortage of it.
No shit. And the question I've been asking tonight is, assuming that, and you know, you can ponder this, and I have a feeling you'll come up with something. Assuming that we can get to January 20th and we remove this nightmare from our presence and remove him from office, the way things are going now, what's beginning to trouble my sleep is, what does getting to January 20th, 2021 even look like?
It's not going to be pretty, Bob.
I'll tell you
what it's going to be. One thing it's going to be, Bob. We get to see John Bruno clean shaven.
I'll shave this beard as soon as we get his ass out of the house. Hey, you know what I've been telling my family there, Bob, is I don't give a flip what he believes. I don't care if he accepts you. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Let him go whine off in a corner somewhere. It's not up to him whether or not this election is certified. So go piss up a rope, asshole. Go cry in the corner, gather all your little bikers for Trump and all that bullshit, and we'll deal with it. But his ass is not staying. So
it's like what the bartender says at 3 a.m., John.
What's that, Bob?
You ain't got to go home. You got to go somewhere else.
You got to go somewhere else. We don't care where it is. Here. But it's not.
And what are you, by the way, what are your numbers like there?
Here in Nueces County, we added another 356 cases today. This county is on fire. It's burning up with it. Shit. It's really getting bad. I don't want to go to town. I had a doctor's appointment the other day, and I called him. And I said, nope, if you ain't doing this over phone, I ain't coming. Because I ain't coming in there where all the sick people are. Shit. It's bad here.
What are you doing to stay safe?
We're doing socially distancing, as with you, out in the country. It's not hard to do. So the only time I go into town is for pure essentials. Had to go to the drugstore today to pick up some. But, yeah, we wear the mask. I got that hand sanitizer in the truck, so as soon as I get back out there, I'm getting drunk with my hands there. Wash them. I got, Travis is every time I come in the house, Dad, wash your hands. Okay, wash your hands there. So, we're trying our best to just stay the hell away from nasty people. It's bad everywhere, and it's not getting better.
You're down around. Is that the same county that has Padre in it?
Yes. Yeah.
So you've got a shit ton of tourists wandering through your county, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the beach. They've closed the beaches to traffic now on the weekend, so you can't come down here and drive your car on the weekend down to the beach anymore. So that's good.
Didn't the hurricane damage it do a lot of damage on the beach area?
It did. It took away Bob Hall Pier, which has happened several times in my lifetime down here. So I guess in a few years we'll get a new pier out there again. But yeah, it did a lot of damage to marinas around the area down in South Padre Island, or on actually what is called North Padre Island, up here by Corpus Christi. South Padre Island is actually down by Brownsville. There was a lot of boats pushed up in a big pile, seawall damage, stuff like that. But no major, devastation to housing or businesses and stuff like that. So I guess, as Corpus goes, it was. But the report is, Bob, that there is more damage to this one in Hannah than we got in Corpus Christi during Harvey. Although Harvey devastated from Rockport all the way up to Houston because the storm came in just south of Corpus Christi.
It was like this thing just spun up out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't want to call out his name because he's usually a pretty good guy, but our weatherman, Dale, he says, well, don't worry about it. A little tropical depression that wave out here. It's nothing. Next day, well, look at here. We might have a little tropical storm here, but don't worry about it. It looks like it's going to go up by Houston. We'll just get a little rain out of it. And then the next day, my phone goes off and says hurricane warning. What the hell? It's that fast, buddy. It was. It was pretty it came up quick, developed quick, and but thank goodness it was moving quickly, speed-wise, because if it had remained out in the Gulf for any length of time, it would have grown quite substantially.
So the poor people that can't afford a boat fared pretty well.
Yeah.
The people that think they're poor but have a boat got screwed.
Got screwed.
And the rich people
they got insurance.
That have a yacht got it the hell out of there before the storm came through.
Probably so, and if they didn't, they got insurance, they get a new boat.
Yeah,
the poor guy that's just, a boat is a hole in the water you dump money into that is trying to keep his boat in shape down there, he didn't fare too well.
So that quote, middle-class individual that thinks he's poor but still has a boat, he's the one that got fucked.
Well, in this storm that we call COVID that has been alluded to, that we're all in the same boat. I prefer to look at it as we're all in the same storm We all have our little boat to deal with, and some of them people got big-ass yachts, and they'll run you over, and they don't give a shit about you. We have to bind our boats together to weather this storm to get his ass out. So as I say on my show, latch your boat to mine, baby. I'm right here.
I consider myself to be in that wealthy poor in the sense that I have a house and a little piece of property and a little piece of garden, 320 square feet of garden, to entertain myself in, as opposed to the real poor, the people across the street that are living in a, like a 200-unit apartment complex.
Right.
That don't have any place to play.
Yeah, that's kind of the story of America, my friend.
Place to play, you know. I mean, yeah,
it's been
young
this
enough
way.
It's a good place to play.
Yeah. Well, if you have the money, it's a wonderful place to play. The places that you go to play in are being serviced by people who are barely scratching by. It's the story of our society.
Yeah, 30 million people could be evicted.
We have an opportunity, though.
Future, 30 million people are not going to be getting their extra money for unemployment.
Mitch McConnell is telling his senators, if you have to call Donnie a dumbass and get away from him, go ahead and do it. Distance yourself from him to save your seat. There is a desperate attempt in the Senate now, because I think it's handwriting on the wall that if we keep this pressure up and if the voters turn out en masse as we expect them to, we're going to take the Senate, baby, and we need that. We need the White House, the Senate. We need to retain the House. Good chance we could pick up as many as 20 seats in the House. It gives us an opportunity, not only in time but in history, to advance this society so much more.
But the
in
Democrats,
the direction of the citizens
10 weeks
it serves.
Ago, the yeah. Democrats 10 weeks ago sent Mitch McConnell a continuation of the unemployment number.
Yes.
And that asshole dismissed the Senate yesterday and went home on a 4-day fucking weekend break.
Adios.
Well, for all intents and purposes.
Say, fuck it. And Trump came out and said the reason there's no extension of the unemployment benefit is because the Democrats won't cooperate.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Republicans threw up $200 on the table and dared us to take it. Fuck them. We're going to win this fight. There's going to be there's going to be a break in this dam pretty soon. They have to. As a matter of fact, they're going to have to come pay for votes, baby. That's what his idea now. Give them.
Well, that's
them
and that you know that's why that one Republican senator, I think it was Cassidy from Louisiana, said, "Well, we need to give $1,000 to every man, woman, and child in this here country because he knows he ain't going to have to come through on it."
Yeah, offer the moon, baby. Yeah, tell him you're going to give him everything.
You remember the old Gilligan's Island episode? God, my brain is one TV and movie reference after another. but he had a nightmare where he had become a South American dictator.
Oh, remember something about this.
And he was Gilligan.
G-I-L-L-I-G-A-N spells Gilligan.
Yeah, Gilligan. And he was wearing the military dictator uniform with all
the
bullshit medals and the sash and everything.
Yep.
And he looks and says, "What do I tell him? Promise him something. What do I promise him? Promise him this, that, and the other thing. I promise you this, that, and the other thing." And the crowd went wild.
Yeah, well, they're going to get this, that, and that other thing, too.
That was such a good stuff. I love
you're not that bad, Bob. I even remembered the jingle, so you're not alone, man.
Yeah. Neither a borrower nor a lender
the research
be.
We have to suffer through, Bob, just to be able to produce. I'm telling you.
I know. And the Harold Hecuba production of Hamlet, Steve, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was
Phil
classic.
Silvers as Harold Hecuba.
Yeah, that was classic.
Oh God,
they made a solid movie. We could go on and on. Those were all good.
I got to get out of here and get this thing uploaded.
Okay. I just wondered when Betsy DeVos is going to outlaw the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, when hell freezes over.
They're going to burn that book, huh?
Well, maybe Tom Cotton. Maybe Tom Cotton can introduce another bill in the Senate banning that too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, thank you for letting me come in at the last minute.
Thanks for coming and playing.
Family, buddy. We send the Horn family all our love, buddy.
And the same right back to the Blue Dot family. And in particular, I love the fact that there's some overlap there.
There you go.
Stick around, John.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I ain't going nowhere.
And pop
on to the back porch.
Yeah, pop on by for the back porch. Steven in New York wants to know, does Sparky have the bug zapper going?
Hey, bug zapper? Cool. Something to watch.
All I got is a tennis racket one.
Hey, yeah. That's good.
Those are the fun ones.
Wave that sucker around. Maybe you'll hit.
They work good on Hornets.
The murder Hornets, Sparky?
No, Wasp, rather.
Oh, okay.
Murder Hornets, they got guns.
in tiny violin cases.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, you guys have a great evening, great weekend. Again, thanks everybody who keeps this program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky and the Old Holler Tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves at the head of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable on Fridays. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And like John said, it's getting hot everywhere. Please take care of yourselves. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you can't stay home and you have to go out, please wash your hands before you leave. Put on your gloves. Put on your mask. Don't touch your face. Don't adjust your mask. Keep your social distance. And if you see some asshole preacher from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, or anyone vaguely resembling him burbling about Nazis because he's being asked not to poison other people, well, avoid that fucker like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.